This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Journey gets their hearts to yearning. It's time. what's on their mind. Hey, dude, 69. It's no bogus journey. It's your heart's true yearning. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin. Dumb, but they're not rubes. They got each other by the pubes, squeezing on one another's tubes. One's dark and one is blonde. Day and night they get it on. They got condoms in their pockets, plug into each other's sockets. They learn from Socrates and other ancient Greeks the art of homo love and sexual techniques. They may not be too bright, but they know what they like. A love affair most triumphant. It's no bogus journey. It's a boner journey. It's time for
see how long your hair has grown and not be there for the growing. I can hear how your heart broke, how some fool let you down, and I can be part of this mending while still in mourning for you. I can do this. I can look you in the eye. I can see your hand an inch from mine and know it's not for the taking. I can hear how much I'm loved, but what a mistake we were, and I lacked the part of a not see. When there's 5 minutes left and your visit to my life is almost over, I'm wondering how long I can hold you before it's wrong. I can do can be your friend. I can see you to the door and hold my smile until it's closing. I can hear you start your car. I am already clearing cups, and I can be part of this mending while still in mourning. I can do this.
You're listening to KPFM.
Warning.
The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is
the 10th
of October edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
And I'm Wes Laverne, your friendly neighborhood intern.
Okay, folks, how was the week?
It was a week.
Uh-huh.
That's about all I can say about it.
I still have my cold.
Yeah, so you were telling me earlier.
Yeah, 2 weeks out of my colds usually run 3 or 4 weeks, so I'm about halfway there.
Yeah, there you go.
And you're just tired.
Well, I'm tired of it, a little bit of a cold.
A little bit of a cold?
My throat's a little scratchy.
Well, that could be from a lot of things.
No, it ain't that. No, it's definitely not from that.
Sorry.
No, so I tried giving it a rest earlier today. I was
tried giving it a rest.
Well,
what, these dicks just happened to pop right in there? What?
No, I just wasn't singing.
Singing.
I was at a funeral earlier today.
I always sing at funerals, don't you, Wes? What?
I have sung at a funeral or two, but it was not memorial songs.
Not that I could hear the words. You know, I'm a good Catholic boy. So, first of all, I'm not used to the big...
No, you're not.
I'm not used to the good pipe organ.
You're not a good Catholic boy.
Shh.
He's Catholic?
In recovery.
Yeah.
So, I was in awkward territory because I was in an Episcopalian church, which I later found out is Catholic light.
Yeah, exactly. Catholic with sex.
But, you know, I couldn't hear the words anyway because they have a real pipe organ.
Oh, how nice. Where was this?
Over at St. Stephen's Episcopal on West Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, being Catholic, if you can't sing, you just mouth the words.
Yeah.
And let the people who can sing, sing. And
well,
I couldn't keep up with what they were singing anyway.
You know how to lip sync. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon.
I thought it was peas and carrots, peas and carrots.
Well, that too.
Actually, it's watermelon, watermelon.
Yeah, well, see.
But, so now I've been out running around. This is my third trip. This is going to be the middle of my third 50-mile trip today. Driving around, so.
Well.
I'm packing on the miles.
He needs to find them a little bit closer to home.
I'm not going there.
Hey, it was a twisted enough part sitting in a church.
Yeah.
And basically, the back two rows of this service were known as the ripcord crowd.
Oh, boy.
You know, when at the end of the pew is Jody and Ranger.
What was this for?
A member of both Big Men's Club and Primetimers, Chris Price.
Oh.
Passed away this past
I hadn't heard that.
This past week. And he and his partner were part of our club since almost at the beginning of the club.
Oh.
And had gotten ill and had passed away, so I went down with some of our club members to pay respects to him.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And like I said, it was weird for me. This is, I went ran through it. This is now my sixth, I think, denomination church I've gone to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I got in there and was like, you know, if I would have known it was this kind of crowd, I would have made Southern Comfortable Brownies.
See?
For them.
Well, you should have known if it was St. Stephen's.
Well, that's another thing is, you know,
that's the queerest Catholic church I have ever been in.
Well, let's put it this way. I went on their website to figure out where they were and map and all that.
Well, it's, actually, Episcopal.
Yeah, it says gay affirming.
Yeah.
Now, there's gay affirming, and then there's what St. Stephen's is.
Whoa.
Wow.
During the homily slash eulogy.
Actually, it makes Bering look like a Baptist church, huh?
Well, let's put it this way.
I've been in Baptist churches, thank you.
At the beginning of the homily eulogy,
yes,
the reverend who was giving that mentioned the fact that, you know, he and some friends were out with Chris and his partner having brunch at Tony's Corner Pocket.
Brunch at Tony's Corner Pocket?
So when you hear that line used in a church, I think you're going a little more past gay affirming than just gay affirming.
Yeah, I get that. I get it. Wow.
Like I said, between that and the ripcord crowd in the back corner, I'm surprised the building is standing. The pews aren't. the pews aren't bolted down, and we found that out when not a member of my club, almost tipped over backwards in the pew.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Oh, I'm just, you know, whenever the ripcord crowd gathers in any corner, that's always suspicious enough. But when they do it in a church, wow.
So it was... that was something different for me to experience a different type of church.
Mm.
Different.
Oh, yeah.
Getting hit on at the reception afterwards was...
fabulous.
Unusual.
Okay.
And he's telling us about the scratchy throat, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, no, I've had the scratchy throat all week, and, you know, well, the last comment out of him that almost made me choke up the nuts I was chewing on.
So to speak.
last week it was the corn cob.
Mm-hmm.
Now this week it's a bag of nuts.
Yeah, remember the corn cob,
mm-hmm,
popcorn caramel thing?
Mm-hmm. I forgot to look at that when I was at Walgreens this week.
Yes.
Hey, I'm surprised. I checked my blood sugar when I got home, and I was still in the 200s.
Boy, that's a surprise. Because you were taking care of that thing.
Wasn't he, though? Especially after he tossed it in the microwave for about 10 seconds.
Oh, boy, howdy. I bet that was good.
Oh, yes. When you follow the instructions, it's great.
Uh-huh.
No, it was... it's been a long day, a long week.
Okay.
Not that way along.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
I can move over now so I can see a little.
Yeah.
Okay, stuff going on. Over at the Montrose Counseling Center, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Throughout October, a life-size representation of Mary Martha Diggs will be displayed in the MCC lobby. And I've seen this. It's quite fascinating. By sharing her story, we hope to bring awareness to the important issue of domestic abuse violence.
Sorry about that. I was opening my soda.
Which ruins many lives. Mary Martha Diggs was murdered in San Antonio, Texas on June 17, 2005. She was shot and killed by her friend, Judith Glory Ritten, 64, at a pool party. According to police, Mary and Judith were lovers. Witnesses told the police that the motive for the shooting was jealousy. There were at least 44 witnesses who saw the shooting and pointed to Ritten as the shooter. Mary Martha Diggs was 74 years old. Wow.
Well, geez.
And still, jealousy. Wow. The GLBT community is not immune from domestic violence. In fact, one in four same-sex relationships include some form of domestic violence. In transgender relationships, the statistic is even more staggering. One in two relationships involve abuse. And that abuse can include verbal abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse, spiritual abuse, which is not allowing someone to practice this in her faith, or sexual abuse. If you or someone you know needs assistance, please call the Montrose Counseling Center at 713-529-0037. And also, new community directory at the Switchboard website. If you haven't already, please visit the newly designed Gay and Lesbian Switchboard website, which is at gayswitchboardhouston.org. One of its components is a GLBT resource directory of GLBT dedicated and GLBT affirming service providers in the Houston area and Southeast Texas region. Organizations are listed in the following categories: arts, cultural community, events, education, advocacy, health care, HIV/AIDS support, mental health, substance abuse, religious, spiritual, senior support, social recreational, support services, and youth support. And remembering Matthew Shepard and the importance of services for hate crime survivors, October 12th will mark 11 years since the tragic death of Matthew Shepard, who was murdered near Laramie, Wyoming, because he was gay. Matthew Shepard's death shed a light on the discrimination and abuse that GLBT individuals sometimes face and brought international attention to the issue of hate crime legislation. If you feel that you have been the victim of a hate crime, Montrose Counseling Center offers support and advocacy services to individuals who have suffered abuse and violence stemming from discrimination motivated by racial, religious, ethnic, sexual orientation, disability, or gender bias. Individual and group therapy is available, and you may qualify for grant funding. You don't have to go through this alone. Please call 713-529-0037 to set up an intake appointment. Okay, Chris?
No.
Because now that it's after midnight, I want to wish everyone happy coming out day.
Yes, there we go.
Oh, good grief, it is. How old am I now? This was the day I chose to break my parents' heart and tell them I was gay.
I did mine in the middle of the summer.
I had moved out in my own place.
Well, better today than Thanksgiving.
Please pass the gravy to a homosexual.
Right.
My mother handed the gravy to my father.
Yeah.
Terrible fight ensued.
Yeah, then the fight started, yes.
That joke credited to Bob Smith.
Circa 1990.
I thought for sure that joke was older than that.
Well, we know Jimmy is.
We'll slap the joke like a can of Alpo and just beat the dead horse.
There you go.
I think he still uses that joke. No, I came out to... I was in my own apartment, went over to him, told him I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Then went down to JR's and got drunk.
Fun.
So, but the reason I came out to him was because, you know, in case I got busted for DWI driving back from the bars, or, you know, they understood why in the world I was downtown getting drunk when there's plenty of good bars out there.
Mm-hmm.
In the shtick.
Yep.
Later on today, on Sunday.
Sunday.
From 2:30 to 4:30 over at Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church is Houston's National Equality March Celebration. Equal protection for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in all matters governed by civil law in all 50 states now. Pissing off Republicans and Barney Frank all in one shot.
Wow.
Unhinged Productions and the Houston GLBT Community Center in invite you to stand with our community and support this most important March for Justice. There will be a presentation of Listen America, the works of Margaret Cho, Troy Perry, and Harvey Milk. As I've said before, one of these things don't belong in the list. Also, says will perform are Ray Hill, Lisa Jackson, Augustin Paz, and the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston. Great lineup, plus a scheduled video feed from the National Equality March rally in D.C.
Yes.
Resurrection MCC is located at 2025 T.C. Jester at 11th Street.
It's actually 2025 11th Street at T.C. Jester. West 11th Street. Yeah, West 11th Street. I've been there. Trust me.
It's inside the loop. He should know.
Okay. One says 2025 West 11th Street. One says 2025 TC Gesture. Hey, guess what? Go to resurrectionmcc.org. See what they say.
Yeah, don't listen to me.
Yeah. Like I said, he lives inside the loop. He should know.
Yes?
Oh, that's right. Okay, it's south of 610, but it's more north of I-Town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's no bookstore in the area. I wouldn't expect Jimmy to know the area.
Oh.
How do you know?
I think there used to be.
There is.
And he would know where it's at.
Yes, I would.
Have you ever decided to ever consider being a contributing editor to Squirt?
No.
Closets of her clothes, really fabulous clothes. Come out and come out in yours. National Coming Out Day party and show benefit on Sunday.
Sunday.
October 11th at 7 p.m. at the BRB, benefiting AIDS Foundation Houston Stone Soup and through the PWA Holiday Charities. This is a Daddy Boy project. If you need more to do tomorrow, the Decadent Dessert and More at South Beach.
Yes.
810 Pacific Street from 4 to 8. The MC for this entertaining, exciting is the Goddess of Drag, Cheyenne. Dancing, delicious desserts and appetizers, auction and raffle items. Scroll down, all the way down.
Oh?
Yes, all the way down.
How far down?
Way down.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Entertainment is Dee Shelton and Julian Waltham from the Bayou City Women's Choir. Nancy Ford, Jody Travis, Mr. Gay Pride, Marsha Mink and Gill, and J.P. Gill, the reigning king and queen of Reese's.
Mm-hmm.
Desserts from a whole bunch of places. Some of the raffle items you will have. Are you ready, Jimmy?
I am.
It's brand new.
Oh.
Shiny.
Oh.
Black.
What?
Shimano? Yeah. There's two of them.
What?
One for 4'6" frame, and one's a 4'10" frame. Great for either guys or gals.
Black midgets?
Little people. Say little people.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The PC term's little people.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the national board is in town, so watch it.
little people.
Little people, yeah. Got it.
The more raffle tickets you purchase, chances you'll be riding these babies home.
Sounds like fun.
Bicycles?
Yes. remember, you can also pick up 37 inches of flat LCD there as well.
Ooh.
As an auction item. For more information on that, go to assisthers.org. The Empire of the World Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. Houston presents Feathers to Fur, Hookers to High Class, Cabaret to Cabernet.
Oh, that's got to be Falcon.
Yep. Well, the next part here will tell you to come out and see the trashy and classy women and men who love them. Hosted by Falcon and emceed by Scott Kenyon and Crystal Ray Lee Love.
Ooh.
And how much class is in that?
Not a lot.
Scott's classy.
Yeah, but look at this. I'm talking Falcon.
And Crystal.
This is on Friday, October 16th at 8 p.m. at George Bar, 617 Fairview.
If we didn't know them all and love them all, we wouldn't say things like that.
Yeah, he's
We'd
supposed
be
to
worse.
Yeah, he's supposed to be. He should be out in the lobby by now. Benefit for Legacy Community Health Services and Hash through Coronation XXVI, with 10% going to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund.
Oh, good old chaos. Chaos.
Well, if he's here, he's going to be talking about that, so I'm not going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
The Empire of the World Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. presents Double Nickel, hosted by Emperor 16 of Fort Worth, Melissa Flores, and Grand Dame, Houston, Sarah and the Showlanders,
ooh-hoo,
along with Duke 25, Houston, Chris Volk.
Yeah.
On Saturday, October 17th at 10 p.m. at Chance's Bar.
That's going to be fun.
A benefit for the usual suspects.
Mm-hmm. They do this every year.
You know, I might actually go make it to that one.
Oh, you should.
Since I'm on vacation.
You should. That is a good, good, good show.
Maybe I'll go down there.
Chance's?
Yeah. He's not looking to get laid by anybody other than who he lives with.
That ain't happening either.
Oops.
I walked in there.
I wouldn't have told that.
I walked in there once and I got looks like, how dare you bring that penis in here? I swear, it's like.
And you said, oh, it's just me, Chris. I don't have one.
Grandpa got you.
I don't do that often, do I?
The fourth annual Knights of the Roundtable, Living with HIV/AIDS in Houston. It will be on October 18th, which is what? A Sunday.
It's on Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. You did that on purpose, you bitch.
You know you're going to get you back, right?
This is at the BRB. Show starts at 7 p.m. The MCs for the night is Christopher Garrett and Anne-Marie Gill.
Wow, she gets around.
Not as much as some people do.
Oh, there we go.
All proceeds go to Legacy's Body Positive for the nutritional program.
Body Mouth, yeah.
Your donations are good to help our community. There will also be free HIV/AIDS and syphilis testing.
Well, we can all use that. What?
I'm just waiting for the real zinger to come at you.
I know, I'm waiting.
I know, night is going to come sooner or later.
I know.
Night of great performances, silent auction, and hear stories from people who deal with HIV/AIDS on a daily basis. Get your table of four for $100, calling Christopher Garrett. They'll be taking Fantastic Plastic. This is through Rhesus, benefiting Legacy, sponsored by BRB and PWA Holiday Charities.
Fabu.
I think he stuck us with the most of the announcements tonight.
What?
Because I got a stack of them here.
They're short.
He made up in quantity because he printed off the long one that came from Montrose Counseling Center.
Yeah,
yeah, he read off their newsletter.
Basically.
Well, no, not even half of it.
Yeah, I know, because you didn't get down to the. you probably gave him the computer story one.
No, I didn't. I didn't. We've
I don't know.
Covered the computer story for 3 weeks, so.
Anyway,
old parts and young kids on computers.
I know, I love that. That
sounds
so
like Dateline.
Oh. It is. Save the date. The secret's out on October 22nd. Come find out why the Montrose Counseling Center is the best kept secret in Houston's gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. At 6 p.m., there's going to be a reception. 7 p.m., a light dinner and presentation.
Mm-hmm.
This is all taking place over at the Montrose Counseling Center at 401 Bernard on the first floor. So RSVP to your table, Captain. Big old long address there.
Okay.
Tickets are on sale for the 15th anniversary of the HWF celebration. That's the Houston Women's Festival. The advance tickets are on sale now for $16. Buy now and save, as the ticket prices will increase to $23 at the door. Come join 1,200-plus women.
And 5 men.
On Saturday, October 24th, for the 15th anniversary of this great event that celebrates women, music, art, culture, and community.
The 24th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the day.
Now, I'm just going, we've been promoting that for like a month and a half. I'm just wondering, when is it coming up?
Well, it's about like this next one here that we've been promoting for a while.
My God.
Yeah.
There better not be a rain delay. No offense to the Women's Festival. It's just, we've been joking about y'all for...
I know.
It seems like all year we've been meeting that joke about the Houston Women's Festival. It's like, it's still 2 weeks away?
Well, there's not a lot of really large women's festivals.
There's too much of a pregnant pause there, honey. There's not that many large women's
festivals. And so I, like to give it all the promotion we can get,
Yeah.
And it is open to men. I laugh and say there's 5 men there, but there are quite a few men that go there because it's good music.
And they just see the long line of trucks and flannel and then, figure it's a redneck fest.
You got
And here's another one we've been beating for a while.
And you're going to be beating it for two more weeks.
Yep. Mr. Prime Choice Texas 2009 presents A Night at the Tickler, an erotic art and object auction benefiting the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum on October 24th from 8 to 11 p.m. Over at the GLBT Cultural Center at 401 Bernard. It's the usual price that you would pay, $7, with an open bar, peep shows, and a DJ. Erotic attire is encouraged, must be street legal, and there is a clothing check at the door.
Remember,
yes,
if
that's going to be so much fun. And, you know, that's coming 2 days after the Montrose Counseling Center has their big deal that, you know, you just talked about.
Exactly.
So we've got to transfer it from a very nice, sedate ballroom to an adult bookstore in 2 days.
Yeah. The part that's scaring me is that you've got Tim Brookover, who's going to be the charge of the door.
Yeah, he's means, oh, and he's loving this.
Which he's going to have to make sure that you're street legal, which means if you're not, he's the one that's going to be there with a 1-inch wide duct tape to seal up the...
Well, maybe him or someone else.
Or is he just going to go, you know, traditional?
I think we have people waiting in line for that that job.
Yeah. Or just going to use plumber's caulk there to fill up the crack.
Well, we don't want to be... We don't want it permanent. We want
and,
easy
and, you
access.
Know, last weekend, he hornswoggled me into coming out to help.
Yes.
My condolences.
We need all of the volunteers we can get.
So
me, they have not been forthcoming.
Me and maybe my other two are coming.
Maybe it's because the way I ask. I don't know.
Well, you asked me, what am I going to be doing? Am I one of the go-go dancers?
Yeah.
A go, and it's going to keep going and keep going and keep going because I can't get it to stop.
You and Marsha Mink.
Oh, hell. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
So I'll go into Hobby Lobby and see if I can get tassels.
And our chair's other half, whose name is Mark Belladez, is getting two young men from his community to be go-go dancers.
Now you're really trying to get me to show up, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Do I get to take them home afterwards?
No, you don't.
You have enough, Mary. Save some for the rest of us. Didn't your mom ever teach you to share?
Nope. I was the oldest, so I didn't have to share.
Oh, good her. I saw a picture of your brother.
Did you? Is oh, yeah, on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah, that is him.
Mm-hmm. Does he put out?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Okay.
And his two other boyfriends.
He does have a partner.
I don't care. That's not what I asked.
And, you know, he told me the other day that he's thinking about getting into a triad.
Really? Good for him.
Yep. So.
Hope it works.
You'll leave your mother all alone. Two three packs.
Yeah, my poor mom.
She's going
to need to hand out programs that we're describing. This is my son and his partner and his partner.
This is my other son and his partner and his partner. And this is my daughter.
It looks like a family tree, but nobody's having kids.
How odd.
Well, you know what's funny is I have three nephews and three nieces.
Hmm. Where'd they come from?
Well, my brother's got two boys and a girl, and my sister's got two girls and a boy.
Oh. Wow. Boy, they've been busy.
Yeah.
That's what breeders do.
Okay.
Where do you think half the gray hairs on my
head
came
boys,
from?
We got a show to do here.
Yeah. All right, now. I've just been attacked from behind. And not in the
raggart.
Just the way he likes it.
Not in the good way, either. For their 2009 and 2010 season opening concert, the Houston Pride Band will fuse popular genres of music to create popera. This pop's concert will showcase popular music with an operatic theme. Space opera, classic opera, and a night at the theater with musical selections from Star Wars, Phantom of the Opera, Carmen, and Wicked, among others. In keeping with their efforts toward helping the community, the Houston Pride Band will donate ticket proceeds from this concert to the Bayou City Performing Arts and its associated family of choruses, including the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, the Bayou City Women's Chorus, the Bayou City Choral, and Bayou Rhythms. For more information on the BCPA, visit their website at www.BayouCityPerformingArts.org. This concert will be held at the Resurrection MCC, located at 2025 West 11th Street on Saturday, October 24th at 7:30 p.m. Doors will be opening at 7 p.m. and tickets are available at HoustonPrideBand.org and also will be available at the door. Are y'all all done moving around in there?
Uh-huh.
So, let's see. Which ones are they on here?
One, two, and three.
There we go. Got y'all.
Thank you.
Aresis presents the Solfonda Pumpkin Patch, presented by Emperor 25 J.P. Gill, hosted by Imperial Princess Lillian Devereaux and Count Doug Weiss.
Yeah.
On Sunday, October 25th at 8 p.m. over at the BRB. There will be a murder mystery contest, so try to figure out who killed the performer, and a decorated pumpkin auction. This show is open to all performers and is a benefit for Legacy Community Health Services and Hatch through Coronation 26, and 10% of all money will go to Chaos.
So who's Lillian going to bump off?
I thought they were going to bump Lillian off.
I'm sure Doug was going to bump him off there for screwing up his name yet again this week.
He gives this to me every week knowing I'm going to screw it up.
We figured you've learned by now. I guess we need a rolled up newspaper. Bad Wes. Because, I mean, we've told you once, we've told you twice. We have to say, it's Doug Weiss.
Oh, jeez.
Damn it, Janet.
They're here next week.
Ooh, Rocky.
Yeah.
Out in the Silence. Filmmaker to attend October 28th Q-Fest screening at the Rice Media Center. Joe Wilson co-directed an acclaimed new documentary.
What is it?
I didn't even read over this one before I started. It's a 7 p.m. screening open to the public. College high schools and students with valid IDs will be admitted no charge with individuals. Other individuals be asked to contribute a $5 donation. Out in the Silence recounts the difficulties that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people face in rural and small-town America. The filmmakers Joe Wilson and Dean Taylor aim to use their movie to promote dialogue and action that will help people on all sides of the issue find common grounds. As they state on their film's website at www.outinthesilence.com. Oh, what do we got? Oh, no. Aresis's annual Big Knobs on Broomsticks.
Ah, actually, that...
That's what it says here.
It's okay. Because one of the people who put it on is not a member of Aresis.
Yeah. As has happened the last few years... let's see, Sarah Scholander is co-hosting Gingivitis annual Big Knobs on Broomsticks event. Ginger and Sarah would like to extend an invitation to all of you to join them for the event and consider performing. This year's event is not affiliated with any group or organization and will be a direct benefit for the AFH Camp Hope.
Okay.
This is going to be on Friday, October 30th at 8:30 p.m. over at EJ's.
Mm-hmm. I know Ginger has been doing that event for quite a few years now. And she started it when she was a member of Pegasus Productions. And that picture, she should be beat for that picture.
That's an interesting picture is all I got to say.
Yeah, because it's certainly not her body.
It's like, holy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can blame me for it. I approved that at message going out to the Louis board.
Oh, okay.
Alrighty then, and my last one here.
Yay!
Ginger Lay invites you over to the Mucky Duck on Tuesday, November 10th at 7:30 p.m. For the Ginger Lay Mafia page.
Whatever.
She's one of the headliners at the Houston Women's Festival, is why we're cross promoting.
Actually, she's the MC.
MC? Yeah. She was doing something.
Yeah, and she's going to be performing at the Mucky Duck November 2nd?
November 10th from 7:30 to 10:30.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Hop on over there and catch that show.
Lesbians head to the Mucky Duck.
Do you know, guys, there are two groups in town that I really don't. I've heard of. And they're very similar sounding, but they're very different. It's Impact and Impact. And we're going to find out just what the difference is tonight because we have C. Bruce Turner with us.
Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
What a segue.
My God.
How you doing? Studying.
What's that?
Someone's been studying. He did a segue.
Yeah. He really did. You really want to know the difference between the two?
Yes.
Okay. M-PACT.
Like the letter M-PACT.
M-PACT is a group started by the city of Houston, city health departments, HIV prevention department for men who have sex with men. Prevention to get word into the city about how to spend the money that they have been misspending. Impact, with an I-M, one word, P-A-C-T, is a group of young activists which are, last month they spent on HIV, but they normally pick a project each month, and this month they're going with the March on Washington, and a lot of them have gone there this month, and some of them will be at the MCC Resurrection.
Yeah, for that thing event tomorrow. That's going on.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because we were at an event recently, and you brought this up, and I had heard of Impact and Impact, and in my mind it was the same organization, and you set me straight on that, and so
you're not the only one.
But you're here tonight for a different reason.
Well, I don't know which reason you want me to be here tonight.
I'm here for any reason you want to be.
I've been doing a lot of different things.
And I know you've been doing the Wire and Wright thing.
I've been dealing with the Ryan White reauthorization for about the last 6-8 weeks.
So what is it that you do?
What do I do?
Yes.
Well, I'm chair of the Ryan White Planning Council.
Okay. Also, well, that's a big deal.
Also co-chair of MPACT. So you could ask me on either
the IM or the M?
The M.
The M one.
The
okay.
M.
The one with the city. Okay.
But
and that's what I would have thought, because if you're dealing with Ryan White, then you probably would be related to how that money gets spent and that
correct.
It gets spent wisely. And I am really, really happy that there's somebody in our community that's helping direct that.
We're hoping to.
It's
a new, the MPACT is a new group. It is, we've been around about 6 months now. And the first written product has to be out in December, so we shall see.
Okay.
If we get that. We're having trouble getting feedback from the community.
Oh,
the community
imagine that.
Doesn't really want to get involved in a new organization, which I can almost understand, but I wish they would.
Yeah.
And I've also been involved in the...
Now, what is this?
Oh, this is a great... We had the Office of National AIDS Policy in Houston today. They had Jeff Crowley, who's the head of that. Sheila Jackson Lee, Ann Robbins, a couple of the office staff, in to hear what Houstonians... Actually, Houstonians and Texans, because we had a lot of people from around Texas, think the new policy should be. And the president has promised a advisory council and a national strategy, which is something that has not happened. There has not been a strategy for the country.
In a long time.
Ever.
Oh.
There's never been a strategy.
Really?
We have required other countries that receive our monies
to have a strategy.
To have a strategy. But the United States has never had a strategy.
That seems unbelievable to me.
Well,
okay.
That's how we work.
That's how we work, or not work. So how was... did we have a good turnout? And
I didn't try to count, but I would say there was probably 150 to 200 people there.
Yeah.
Everybody that wanted to speak got a chance to speak, which
good.
Was very good.
Good.
And we all were...
Was there substantial?
Very varied input.
Okay.
It came from everything from pediatric AIDS to hospice care. So it was a full extent from
good.
Prevention to services. There were people from Dallas, Fort Worth, Laredo, Austin, Houston. So we had a lot of input from around the state. I didn't expect anybody from the western half, since they did Albuquerque yesterday. If I was in the western half, I'd gone there, too.
Yeah.
So, but yes, we had nurses, doctors, dentists, everything putting input in today. Not as many clients, not as many HIV-positive people as I would have liked to see, mm-hmm. but we had some also.
You know, a lot of us, and I know you've probably don't fit this, but a lot of us who have been surviving for many, many years, HIV positive or with AIDS, like me, we're tired.
Well, you know.
We're a little burned out, and we get to a point where we don't want AIDS to be the focus of our life. We want to just be able to deal with the disease and live a life. And so sometimes we don't do what we should to help.
Well, I've been positive since 90.
Uh-huh.
So I know what you're talking about. But, you know, one of the great complaints people have is about stigma. And what you're saying is the opposite side of that coin is our own internalization of that stigma and not doing anything
yeah.
about what we are.
Yeah.
So we need to, you know, get out there and
we
people
do.
Need to see us.
We do. And especially younger people, because they haven't had the experience of having all their friends die.
That's correct.
Or facing death because of protease inhibitors and some of the newer drugs that keep us alive longer, but has not cured the disease. We
True.
Live with it. We live with the side effects. They get worse, and we get prone to other maladies like heart disease and liver disease and kidney disease and you name it. Osteoporosis, diabetes, just all the way down the line. To say nothing of somebody like me who's probably had it since 83, tested in 87. I may be 61, but my insides say I'm 85.
Well, mine do too.
And my brain is maybe even older than that. So that's the reality of the disease. Oh, stop.
I'm biting my tongue on that one. I was laughing at Chris over there biting his tongue.
That's the reality of the disease. And people don't see that, especially young folks who think that they're going to take a pill and it's going to be wonderful.
Well, I think the reality of the disease for someone your age and my age who has been positive for 18 or 20 years
yeah.
is that we're running out of medications and we're running out of
yeah.
treatments and nothing is coming down the pike and we don't see any new medications.
That's
we
true.
Don't see any new treatments, and if we don't speak up, we're not going to be around because the medications fail after a while.
And the other thing of it is, every time you turn around, or people say, well, I heard that, you know, there was this vaccine coming out, or I heard that, you know, there was this, you know, there was a cure on the horizon. And the reality is, we do hear that all the time, and we hear it, and it's all in vitro, and it never comes to pass, because it just doesn't translate to the human body. And after a while, you've had so many false hopes.
I like the fact that we're, you know, a very open society. We hear and we talk about everything,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, certain things should not be talked about until they've proven a little more than we hear them.
And I wish it was more that way. I don't want to hear about what it does in the lab. I want to hear about what it does in humans. And just don't tell me about it. Don't give me that false hope. Plus, spreading the false notion that this disease is over to other people.
It's not. And believe me, it's not. And we try to spread that word. We try to get out in the public and spread that word. People don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
You know, we're such a pill-taking society that we just believe now that you can take a couple pills and that's going to be it.
I take 50 a day.
A few more than I take.
You know, and so, you know, I laugh at people who say, oh, I just can't take that big pill once a day. What? One pill? I wish.
Yes. But the other thing is...
And I don't want to lose my train of thought, but I already did, so... You were going around at this event, and you were getting people to sign up for what?
Oh, this last event we were together at, I was asking people to sign letters. That was for the reauthorization of the Ryan White Care Act.
Okay.
The Treatment Modernization Act was approved in 06, and it expired on September 30th. Congress and Senate have put in money in the budget for next year. But as they run, they run in three different cycles. They run on a program cycle, a allocation cycle, and a budget cycle.
Oh, good Lord.
So there is no program. Fortunately, there was a continuing resolution which keeps the program alive until the end of October. That's a little fault. Let me straighten that up a little bit. It keeps the administration of the program alive through the end of October. The money actually is in the city right now. The cities all over the country have the money, and that stays with us until the end of February. But the federal government is only going to administer it until the end of October. Now we need to get the program reauthorized. The Health, Education, Labor, and Pension Committee in the Senate passed a bill. I think it was on the 19th of September. I'm not quite sure. I think that was the date on it, which has gone to the Senate, has not been scheduled for a vote yet. But once it's voted on, the Congress, the committee that looks at it, the Health Subcommittee of Education and Commerce.
Okay.
I'll keep these things straight somehow. They're going to try to take that bill and put it through the Congress as the Senate has written it, which is a different tactic than has ever been run. Usually it has to go to a conference committee, and this time they don't want to do that if possible.
Okay.
And word that has leaked out of people we have connections with in Washington say it should happen by the end of October.
Good Lord. Do they make these things complicated on purpose?
I don't know, but I think it keeps a lot of people employed.
I guess it must, but it keeps the American public just confused. You know, the thing that I've been hearing is that that the ADAP plan is in trouble.
Well, ADAP is part of this, of the Ryan White program.
Well, fortunately, I don't hear that it's in trouble in Texas, but there's 10 states in particular that have closed their enrollment on ADAP, and that's dangerous, because that's telling people that you have to die.
Well, in Texas, the ADAP program is federal money plus state money, and some states have not. You know, with the budget crunches they're having, are not able to put in a share. So they're only living on federal money, and they are running short.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about this as soon as we come back. We have to take a couple of minutes at the top of the hour and do an ID and some promos.
Yes.
Okay.
In keeping with KPFT's mission of bringing the voices of the community to you, here is one of your candidates in the upcoming election for local station board.
I'm Bill Crozier, a candidate for the KPFT local station board. Imagine people at work or school talking about a station that dares to speak the truth about unchecked corporate power and influence in Congress and the state government. Imagine your friends telling each other about news and issues that are never covered on TV. Imagine them getting excited about local musicians who they've never heard on any commercial station. KPFT can help turn the tide for peace and justice, but only when more people know about it. We must work together to reach more listeners so we can make our station a more influential voice for truth and reason. Will you help us in this by telling your family, coworkers, and online friends about your favorite KPFT programs? Let's make KPFT known as the place for uncensored news, music, and public affairs in our area. I'm Bill Crozier, and I thank you for supporting our station for peace.
That was a statement by Bill Crozier. Let your voice be heard with your vote. This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT 90.1 FM presents the One World Music Jam. Ancient Beats, Ancient Rhythms. Saturday, October 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. Experience the dynamic, thunderous sounds, graceful movements, and symbolic regalia of percussion groups representing traditional cultures from Africa, Asia, the Americas, and Europe performing together for the first time on the same stage during this music and dance celebration of our undeniable oneness. Only on this one night will you witness a jam session featuring members of Kumba House Dance Theater, Grupo Midotiani, Caminari Taiko, Space City Gamelan, and Spot Albert in a finale you won't want to miss. The readers of the Houston Press voted KPFT as the best radio station in both 2008 and 2009. Visit us at kpft.org for current updates on the One World Music Jam. This is KPFT, Houston.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
We're talking to C. Bruce Turner, with the chair of the Ryan White
Planning Council.
Planning Council. I should know that. And he's going to explain this sheet of paper he put in front of me that...
I thought I'd drop this one. Jimmy was making all his announcements. Today, Office of National AIDS Policy was in Houston, and a couple of us who were there, Randall Ellis, who's worth with Legacy, Ruben Rosas, and myself, have decided that this is not enough of a chance for people to get their word in or to get written comments into the people that will be making the new strategy.
Yeah.
So we decided that in Houston we will do two follow-up meetings for to help people get a written comment. And the reason we're doing that is because they're limited to 5,000 characters on an email.
Oh.
So we thought, well, maybe we can help them make it a little more concise.
Okay.
And if there's interest, we hope to do a Houston declaration, what we think the strategy should be. And I really would love to see that, because Houston, although we have a number of people that are known nationally and are in the national spotlight when it comes to the discussion, Houston as a city never seems to have a large part in creating these programs for people with AIDS.
Yeah, it's part of the city, I think, because we have a small group of activists, and everybody else kind of sits back, and it's for all things, you know. And don't feel like you're being picked on, because when it comes to any kind of political activism or just even ACT UP, you know, just trying to get members for ACT UP 20 years ago was like pulling teeth.
And so, nowadays, if you can't get them to click a mouse to do their activism, you're not getting them out.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. So I don't know. Maybe it's the atmosphere here, or the heat, or something. We're just too laid back.
The humidity, darling.
We do not get involved. You know, all of the wonderful music acts that we have here, people don't go out to see live music like they do in other cities. It's just, we're not a city of doers. And it's frustrating.
I know. I mean, I was trying to get letters written to the senators and congresspeople, and... Fortunately, we got about 1,500, 1,600 letters sent out.
That's amazing that you got that many. You must have really had to work.
We worked. But I was talking to some people that were, you know, involved in this process for years now. And they said, we were lucky if they got 150 or 200 letters out.
Yeah.
So we did quite a, you know.
That's a yeoman's job. What's your secret?
Standing there waiting for them to hand it back to me.
About the only way.
That's the only way.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I resemble that remark, I'm sure.
I think I waited for you to sign yours, too.
Yes, you did. You did indeed.
Okay.
So what's that? What's what else is on your agenda tonight?
Those are the major parts of my agenda, and trying to get people involved in impact.
Okay, so what do you want them to do?
I want them to come to our next meeting.
And when is it? How do they get in touch with you?
Our next meeting will be Thursday.
This Thursday?
This coming Thursday.
Uh-huh.
At the Montrose Counseling Center.
Uh-huh.
At 6:30.
Okay. Now, how do you...
On the first floor.
Okay. Yeah, the GLBT Cultural Center.
There you go.
Yes, it's on the first floor. You get in the elevator and you go up one flight.
Yes.
Now, how have you been promoting this?
We have been basically promoting this by computer.
Okay. Do you have Lone Star activists on your list?
Yes.
Do you have...
Hop On. We have Pause Houston.
Good. How about Louie, HCC?
No, I don't think Louie's on there.
Chris? Okay. Just write it down, honey.
I'm trying to remember what the Yahoo group name is.
Don't we all forget those?
You go to our main website, there's a link on there to the Yahoo.
Okay. Because there are a lot of people who are involved in Houston Council of Clubs.
Yes.
Who should be intimately involved in this.
We've had some of their members involved. They have not stayed involved, but they at the beginning they were involved.
Yeah. It's really tough around here these days since... I really miss that we don't have a weekly newspaper.
Oh, don't we all?
Yeah. I mean, that has really hurt us. And one of the reasons that we do a lot of community events at the beginning of the show, because we don't have a newspaper to do that. But we have Outsmart, but then you have to know a month ahead of time when your event was going to be. So, as fast as you can get after hours at kpft.org, the information, we can be promoting it right here.
Thank you. We will do that.
Okay.
We did the big splash at the Pride Festival, and that seemed to be the biggest response we got, which was good.
Good.
Okay.
So, after hours at kpft.org.
Actually, I have your personal one, but...
Yeah, but see, Chris gets this one. So, if I screw up, he's got it, too.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, he'll forward it to both of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you,
Bruce.
That much.
And thank you.
You're welcome. We'll see you next time. And anytime you want to promote something, just let us know.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Bye. Anyway.
All right.
Let's just bring him in here. No music.
Okay.
Let's just bring him in here dry.
Dry?
That sounds kind of rough. You know.
Well, hi, honey.
We prefer to be introduced by that or just go, next.
serving number 55.
Oh, what a lovely, lovely poster.
Isn't that pretty?
Yes, it is. Who did it?
I did it.
No, really.
Seriously.
Yeah, but something's hanging down between her legs there.
No, that is her leg.
That is the leg. No, I did this poster. Isn't that cool?
Yes, it is.
I actually paid for the graphics this time. So.
Oh.
I went onto a wonderful website and I found this great graphic.
That is a great graphic.
It's just so Illuminations Project. So. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Jimmy?
I am doing just great.
How are you doing, Chris?
Thank you for being here, and thank you for waiting.
He's not waiting.
I wasn't waiting. I just got to crawl in.
He really did, because he crawled in on the table behind me.
Oh, my goodness. And where have we been this evening?
Aresis had a show at EJ's.
Yes.
It was Emperor Larry's and Empress Selena's 10th anniversary.
Yeah, we've been promoting it.
Great. Well, it was a big show. It was a great show.
Really big shoe, huh?
It was a really big shoe, yeah. They had a lot of performers, a lot of guest performers, and a good crowd.
Great.
Yeah,
great. Well, they had to, their 10th anniversary. They, couldn't just have a little...
What is the 10th anniversary in gay terms?
papers.
It would be 50 years. It'd be like, what, gold?
I think you get them something concrete.
Well, no, I'm sure a lot of people want to put Selena in concrete, but and she's going to kill me now. Thank God she doesn't listen this late, but now she's at another bar, so.
You hope.
I could be evil. It's like, I've had just enough to drink tonight. So.
I see. That's the way we like them on
oh,
here.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to be good. I swear to God.
Too late.
So tell us about Illuminations.
Illuminations Project is a show we do annually, and this is the 8th year for it.
Is it that? I didn't know it was that old.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been doing it for the last 2 years.
This is your second year.
Yeah, this would be my second year. But Jane Wiener with Hope Stone created it 8 years ago.
Oh.
And, you know, I'll tell you the story again. She was traveling through the countryside of, I don't know if it was Texas or not, but she's traveling through the countryside, and she saw on a billboard coming up to her as she's going down the freeway a big red ribbon on the billboard.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought, really cool that out here in the BFE, basically, is a billboard for AIDS.
Well, for her, she's from New York, right?
Yeah, she's a New York. She danced on Broadway, and she's a choreographer here. But when she got close enough, she saw that it was for the American Heart Association.
Oh.
So, and then it kind of dawned on her. Her mentality and my mentality is basically a lot of the same, because she lost so many people back in the early 80s to AIDS, all of her partners and a lot of people in her dance classes and stuff, that, you know, in the early 80s, I lost a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
So, we kind of like birds of a feather.
Mm-hmm.
And we... when I saw the show in the 6th year, I said, you know, it's a really great show. She brings in all these people from New York. But I thought it kind of got lost on the community, in a sense, because...
Yeah, we didn't know anything about it, actually, until you started getting involved in it.
Right. I think the biggest news flash of it was when one of their dancers got beat up at the coming out from one of the bars.
Yes.
What?
Yes, I remember that incident.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest promotion they had for it, was that one of the dancers had came down for the World AIDS Day stuff.
Oh, that was before me, though.
Yeah, it was before you.
Oh, okay.
No, this was...
I don't know about this.
This is back when Q Patrol was still involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was years and years ago.
But yeah, she would bring in all these wonderful entertainers, and, you know, she had a great vision. But I kind of felt like there was a disconnect to our community. And I'm not promoting this just to the GLBT community. This is for anybody with AIDS. I know we're basically pushing this radio show to the GLBT community. But
actually, half the people listening are not of the GLBT community.
How many people are listening now? 20,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I only need 500 of you.
Well, that's good, because a lot of the 20,000 are in jail.
Good.
And there's a lot of Republicans who are probably waiting to go there. So,
as they close the bookstores, you're losing your audience here?
Yeah, you know.
It's like, okay, you got to do something to the beat. Okay. So
that's our next live broadcast. Coming live from the 6th floor of the Harris County Jail.
Why do we always go there?
Because that's the floor they put us on. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's either that or coming to you live from BJ's Adult News on Gulf Freeway.
No, it's too much of an echo.
What's the address again?
Griggs Broad Exit.
I was going to say, you seem to know this address, you know, the name of the place.
A friend of mine used to live in that neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He did.
A friend.
He did.
It was a friend.
A friend?
Yeah.
FB. I can tell you his initials. It's FB.
And the Illuminations Project.
Well, going back to the story, quit interrupting me, Jimmy.
Sorry.
Oh my God, he gets on these tangents.
That's the whole show. What are you talking about?
I know. But.
I got your tangents. Right here, baby.
I've never seen his tangent. He's usually with somebody else's tangent.
In his mouth.
He doesn't have a tangent. Both of the boys are very white.
Thank you. Oh, we got them both to shut up, Chris. That's good. Keep it up, baby.
It's a 2-for-1 special.
But Jane, let's get back to the story.
Oh, no, you got a 3-for-1 here.
You remember,
you know,
Jane?
It's amazing. They're like, okay, you get 10 minutes, and then they go on all these tangents, and I'm not going. Okay, now I got 30 seconds to get everything out now. Shut up, Jimmy. Swallow, Jimmy. Swallow.
He does that already.
He took a swig of his Diet Coke, and all of a sudden, he's like almost spitting out of the wall here. It's not a bookstore.
Okay,
last time I remember seeing you, I was walking towards you, and you were stuffing it back in.
The Illuminations Project is...
Oh, Misfits Ball. Misfits Ball, that's right. Okay.
Do we need to turn Jimmy's mic off?
I'm going to channel Zach there from stage door.
I had to do a flashback there. It took me a moment.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyways, let's get back to the story, boys and girls. Okay, boys and girls, we're going back to the story.
Okay.
But she created this as a project for awareness. It's not so much of a charity fundraiser, but it's more about awareness. She tried to schedule it, and she did a lot of the times right on World AIDS Day, December 1st.
That's a tough act to do.
It is. And I did it last year on December 6th, and I realized that it was kind of a tough act. And we kind of bumped it up this year to November the 11th.
Yeah, that's really early.
It is early, but what we're doing this year is we're going to ask a lot of the AIDS charities to come in, or at least provide me with their information so we can set up a table.
Okay.
We got GCAM, who is producing this show in association with GCAM.
We're umbrellaing the Illuminations Project.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and GCAM, you know, I don't know if you guys have done it yet, but you got to get in that storage unit. They're going to do a history of AIDS. Yeah. You better talk to Judy very quick, baby. You got a month to get this together.
Yeah, I know. We got this fundraiser coming up on the 24th, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this show is basically, last year we did What Does World AIDS Day Mean to You? And this year the subtext of the show is The History of AIDS.
Okay.
And that's why we partnered up with GCAM, because, you know, GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive Museums, has a lot of our history here, here in the Houston area. And we wanted to promote that. You know, the people who came out in the early 80s and the 90s and worked to raise money for the AIDS. And, you know, it's kind of funny, because Sally Huffer at the Montrose Counseling Center, she was on my Facebook, and she said, I saw your whole page about why you do this, why you do charity fundraising. And she goes, you made me cry. I said, I didn't mean to make you cry. I'm sorry. But, you know, when I was dealing with a lot of the issues of AIDS, my friends getting AIDS back in the early 80s, and I'm talking like 84 when it was still called the gay plague.
Yeah.
And I had one friend, Pat, who I was driving down the road, and I actually found him in Flint, Michigan, where I was living. With no shoes, trench coat, typical homeless look.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, get in the car. What are you doing? He goes, well, and he told me his whole story. And I'm like, well, we need to do something about this. And one thing that, you know, if people don't know the history of AIDS and what gay men went through back in the early 80s, it was the lesbians that stood up.
You bet. They were the first ones.
They were the first ones to come in.
Because the government was ignoring us.
Exactly. So I got Pat into a spare bedroom of a lesbian. He died 10 days later. But at least for those 10 days, he had a warm house, he had clothing, he had food.
Yeah.
Didn't really have the services back then.
No.
So
didn't have medications, didn't have services, and when even medical personnel found out what you had, they wouldn't touch you.
Exactly. You know, you couldn't go to a dentist, they would not touch you. So, same thing with, I had another friend who was my best friend in the whole wide world, and he still is to this day, even though he's passed. His name was Wayne. And Wayne was, to me, you know how once in a lifetime you find that soulmate? He was never a lover. He was never anything about sex. It was just that person you connected with so well that you finishes your sentences. Yeah. All you had to do is look at each other. You knew exactly what you were thinking, the same joke, and you were laughing your asses off without saying a word.
Yeah.
That was Wayne to me. And Wayne was one of those people that in 1994, I think it was, he was having so much trouble with his lungs collapsing. You know, he'd get the right one working, then the left one would collapse, and mm-hmm. it was going back and forth, that he finally just stopped his meds. And the sad part is, his doctor was encouraging him to keep on doing his meds because he knew that the FDA was coming up with the cocktails.
Yes.
And if he would just held on 6 months. So, you know, that was the reason why I started doing this, you know, is because I know there's a lot of people out there who feel that there's hopelessness, and there's not. There's services out there, you know, that will take care of you. You just have to know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of Illuminations Project is to let people know that, you know, there's people out there that care. These dance companies, and I'm going to run through these really quick.
Yeah, please, because
so people,
some of these were not... may not be familiar with the gay community.
True, but these dance companies are very familiar here in Houston. Yeah. These are big dance companies and entertainers. We have Hopestone, which is what Jane Wiener started when mm-hmm. she came here, which is a dance company that she donates. It's a 501c3 charity that provides dance lessons for needy kids.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh.
And we have the Houston Metropolitan Dance Company, mm-hmm. a wonderful dance, contemporary dance company here. We have the City Ballet of Houston. Regina Dane's doing it this year, which is one of our local female illusionists.
Yes.
Ladies here. We have the Lone Star Lariat's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And
very good.
There's only five companies that we asked to come back this year. And Lone Star was one of them after Tyler died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tyler never died of AIDS. He died of a heart attack. But when he died, I went to the Lone Star Lariat and I said, you got to come back. You got to do a tribute number. So that's going to be part of our show, is that, you know, the Lariats are going to step up and do a wonderful piece. I already know what, you know, the choreographer is thinking of doing. We got Sinfonia Dance Company, the mm-hmm. Dance of Asia America, which I just saw tonight over at the Miller Outdoor Theater.
Oh?
And, oh, my God.
Really good?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Wait till you see what they're going to do, guys. We have Uptown Dance Company, which is actually a part... how should I explain this? The people who run Uptown Dance Companies are also affiliated with the Houston Ballet,
uh-huh.
which is probably the best way. I still got to figure out the connection, but I know their resident... the artistic director, I believe, is affiliated with the Houston Ballet. Don't quote me on that yet.
Okay. Is it like a contemporary dance with ballet background?
They do more ballet.
Okay.
I think it's more strictly ballet. Now, okay. The City Ballet of Houston is going to do ballet. I believe they're going to add a tap to it. Tapped into it too.
Really?
So
I haven't seen a good tap in a long time.
I've been wanting to get a good tap. I wanted this year. I really try to push for. There's a couple of dance companies out there. One is a South African dance company.
Uh-huh.
I take that back. An African American dance company.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a Irish dance company to come in, which I thought would be really cool. Because to me, it's about World AIDS Day. And, you know, obviously, it's not about just Houston. We're raising money for Houston, but it's about World AIDS Day. I'm trying to get different cultures into this. I don't want... That's why we have the Dance of Asian American. I'm trying to get, you know, Latin American dance companies into it.
Yeah.
So, we have, like I said, Uptown Dance Company. We have Second Generation Dance Company. And Clay Hardy is a live singer.
Yes.
And he's going to be there.
He's marvelous.
I know. And then, of course, everybody's...
And he's got a six-pack.
I know. Ooh. And he just joined the gym I work at.
Oh, God.
I know.
Clean up on aisle four.
I have something. If Clay Hardy, you know,
Clay, sure
if you're
is.
Listening to this, you're going to like this. I get to watch something very pretty from the balcony of my office here. So.
Oh, my.
I know. But, and we also have, you know, last year, these guys kind of rocked down the place. It was the Houston Flyboys.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I love the Flyboys.
They're coming back.
That's great.
And this year,
they are spectacular.
I know. But I think we got a closing number this year that's going to be also very spectacular,
mm-hmm.
Which is going to be Kimberly Ann O'Neill.
Oh.
And she has a signature number that she's going to do, and she's going to bring it to the stage. And, you know, just like how Cheyenne did it last year,
mm-hmm.
Cheyenne did Hurt by Christina Aguilera, and we had two of the Houston Metropolitan Dance Company's male performers dance to it. And we jarred some emotions with that piece. And it was the last number of the show. And one thing I said before was I didn't in all my fundraising here in Houston, I try not to end the show on a slow note.
Sure.
Or a sad note. I try to make sure it's an upbeat.
Yeah, a little upbeat.
So, this year, I got Kimberly up there, and she's going to bring it. I'm not going to say what she's doing.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But she's going to be doing a show, and I know Kimberly. You know Kimberly, when she starts moving.
Oh, yeah.
When she starts dancing, she's going to rock the house.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
We do have our fundraiser coming up, which is November 17th. Thank you. Just throw it at me. October 17th, I should say.
Yeah.
At Tony's Corner Pocket. And that's where you can actually, up between now and the 18th, you can actually buy your tickets for
$25. Oh, okay.
And that's open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we may actually extend it because we are we had a little bit of issues with our getting some of our marketing out on time.
Oh.
So we may extend that a little bit longer, but just stay tuned. I'm sure you'll be announcing it for me next week.
Oh, hell yeah. We've been announcing it every week.
Thank you. But the fundraising show is called Fire It Up. It's at Tony's Corner Pocket. It's on Sunday or Saturday, October 17th at 8 p.m. Anne Marie Gill is going to be hosting that show. She's one of the producers of Illuminations.
Yes.
And, of course, along with Scott Kenyon, he's another producer. These guys really keep me grounded, and they...
Extremely talented men.
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so. And that's... When I did this last year, it was basically me.
I know.
It was,
and it probably drove you crazy, to say nothing of Scott.
Well, actually, Scott was okay. My partner Scott was okay. He wasn't... going as crazy nearly as I was. I actually had to quit my job just to get it done.
Oh, my God.
That's just how much work was going into it. And this year was just the opposite. It just fell into place.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also had more help.
I did. But the things that was different this year was the word got out.
When
I brought in all these local entertainers, and they started talking to each other, and they said, we just did Illuminations project. And then everybody was like, okay, what's that? How can we be a part of it? I actually had to turn down dance companies this year.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't. You know, my poor lighting director, Chris Phelps, you know, last year, you were in the lobby, right? And some of the people were in the lobby, and they were like, going, why aren't the doors opening? That was because... Have you ever seen, a good example was the Coruscant movie where they had the whole soundboard in the middle of the, and the producer sitting next to the soundboard and the lighting board, and it's in the middle of the theater, in the middle of the seats. That was still there.
Yeah.
And we were still doing tech rehearsals up until 7:30.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, the Hobby Center, they knocked that thing down in 5 minutes and got back to the lighting room and the sound room within 5 minutes. And I was impressed. I'm going, we got to open these doors in like 5 minutes. And they completely... And nobody knew. That was the good part. Nobody knew. That was the secret behind last year's show, is that, okay, there was a reason why we didn't open the doors. We started that show at 7:35 or 7:40. I mean, the people got in their seats and we started the show. And you were there. And, you know, I laugh about this. You know, I'm not bashful on a microphone whatsoever.
I know. Go ahead.
I like how you said that. But you know, when I went out on that stage, I cracked completely. I literally had to stop. I don't know if you saw that part. But I went out, I'm trying to, you know, welcome people to the show. And there was just... I'm not used to doing a show of this caliber where everything is going so smooth and I'm waiting for the screw up. Get your finger on that yellow button. You know I'm ready to say something. But I'm waiting for the screw up, and I'm telling you, between the Hobby Center and my lighting director, Chris, and just the talent that we brought in, everything fell into place, and I literally walked out on stage with that microphone, and I'm still thinking in my head, what's going to screw up? What's going to screw up?
And it was you!
It was me! I got out there, and I started talking. I'm going, okay, pause. I pulled the microphone away from my mouth. I'm like, take 10 seconds and start over. And I did. I got my composure. I started over. Goes, okay, now let's do this. But so the fundraisers, let me reiterate. Fundraisers is October 17th, 8 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. You can buy your tickets for $25 up until the 18th.
Uh-huh.
I may extend it a little bit longer. I got to talk to the other two producers
okay.
and see what we can do. The regular price tickets for the show is $35. It is going to go on sale, I believe, October 21st
mm-hmm.
Through the Hobby Center. And, you know, that's basically, yeah, we're this year's beneficiaries is going to be the Gulf Coast Archives Museum
wow.
and the Montrose Counseling Center.
Yes.
And people can contact me through www.illuminationswithanSproject.org. Or illuminationsproject@yahoo.com.
Got it.
And they can also call me on my phone at 713-614-1360.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get your tickets that way. All the tickets that you're doing at the $25 level is going to be will call.
Yeah.
So you can buy your tickets. What I'm going to do is take everybody's information. I got the seating chart. I'm holding your seats. Take your information down to the Hobby Center on the 20th. I'm going to hold all your seats. I'm going to buy all your tickets that way.
Okay.
But this way you guys get that advance
yeah.
word-of-mouth ticket price. And it's just something that we're doing for all of our friends at KPFT and anybody else that reads the posters around the community.
Yeah.
And if you're unable to attend, you can contribute $25 to help a person with AIDS go to the event.
Yes.
Exactly. That was the other big thing, you know, when I was talking earlier about people who have no hope, you know, working with the Colt 45s for as many years as I did, I think 4 years I was with the Colt 45s, and we would see client, you know, applications come in for rental assistance where it could be like a single mother with three kids
yeah.
and they all have AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, it's obvious that this lady has to choose between, you know, rent or medication. And you can't make that decision. You know,
you shouldn't have to.
You shouldn't have to. And unfortunately, you know, a show of this caliber, and, you know, I'm not, you know.
This is a high-class show.
I consider it a high-class
yeah.
show. I personally, you know, I'm kind of, you know, modest about it. You know, I don't run around screaming high class, but I'll tell you this much. These dance companies and these performers go all out.
They do.
And last year, you know, I do so much regular fundraisings in the bars here, and a lot of people last year when I first took this over thought, okay, it's Falcon. You know, they thought it was going to be a high class drag show. And I had so many people come up to me afterwards and say, we were not expecting
yeah.
that. This was so out of the ballpark, and
I know
you just knocked it out. It felt good, you know. I'm not, you know, I've always said I'm not one to really toot my own horn. I don't run around. It's not about me, you know. I know I'm everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing as much as I can for my community, but I'm doing it for my community. It's not about me, and it's kind of funny because when I started hearing that stuff, I'm not one to take a compliment that well. I'm really not. I mean, I'm not used to it. You know, I'm more, you know, you guys know me too well. I'm more the sarcastic person. This
yeah,
trade jibes and stuff.
I know.
And when people are giving me compliments, I'm going, you know, well, thank you. And I'm shocked. And, so this show, I had so many people walking out.
Great.
And I went out during the intermission. I went out afterwards. The show ended. And just the feedback I was getting, and I said, you know, we had half the theater filled last year, and I said, bring a friend. We'll fill this puppy up.
Okay. Honey, we got to get on with the show. I want you to come back before the end of the month and talk some more.
Okay. Not a problem.
Because we can't promote this enough.
Thank you so
okay.
much, too.
You bet.
It's so appreciated.
Coming up here is Leather Ties. Let's hit their music and get them in.
welcome to After Hours Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, here with my co-host, Master Buzz Lawson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear him?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Well, then cut off his mic.
Okay, now I can hear me.
My volume okay, now you can hear down. You.
Well, see, you're using the headphones I was using, and I try to avoid listening to the show as much as I can.
Oh, okay. So. That's why the volume was turned down.
Yeah.
Well, that's
heck, you're lucky it's plugged in.
Yeah. We're here tonight. Baby Bear's in the house. Some of you will remember last month I had Daphne and Ben in. We brought Jetta in this time, too. Say hello.
Hello.
If you heard that, she said hello.
Here, yeah.
Here, let's change microphones. There you go. Okay.
Everybody rotate.
We'll change microphones.
One, two,
there
three,
we go.
Switch. No, well.
With Chinese fire drill with the microphones here.
Be cooperative now.
And tonight we are going to be talking about different, dispelling some myths on some fetish play, fetishes, different types of fetishes. I did a series last year that was like a 3 or 4 month series, and I've had several people ask me to just kind of recap certain things, so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight real quick. And I've got some people who are very well versed in the scenes that they play to help out, from bondage to flogging to electricity to everything else we've got going on, sounding, all kinds of fun stuff. I do want to start out and say that basically when it comes to fetish play etiquette, the best rule and the only rule I really have is respect. Respect the negotiation scene, respect the scene, respect the person you're playing with.
Respect yourself.
Well, it all starts with that. If you don't respect yourself, don't even bother to play.
No kidding.
Because it's gonna come out that people are going to see that you're not respecting yourself because you're not respecting others. But always find out what your partner's limits are, especially when it comes to the more severe scenes that we play. And find out before you start playing with them. Don't find out during a scene. That's what negotiation is for. Negotiate the scene.
You never want to hear somebody say oops.
Yeah. You don't want to hear. You don't want to hear
neurosurgeon,
oops.
Neurosurgeon, heart surgeon, top. Never want to say oops.
Yeah. Never want to hear oops.
You don't want to see the confused look on their face while they're hooking you up either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get you a chair so you can sit down.
I'm all right.
Okay. Keep yourself open to new experiences. Mm. Just because you haven't thought of it. Or thought it would be attractive to you, seeing something played might pique your interest, so don't see or hear something and go, ew, until you've actually seen it played live.
Well, how many times have we heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Ew.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard, ew.
Really?
Oh, my God, you guys do that? That's so gay. Well, duh.
Oh, my God, he's really hitting him.
And, as always, play safely, consensually, and play sanely. Be sane when you're playing. I mean, yes, the object is to get off and have a good time and get the endorphins going and make everybody happy, but do it sanely and safely as possible.
So don't be drunk and don't be so high that you don't know what's going on in reality.
And as you're watching these scenes, looking for things that you may or may not be interested in, if you are observing a scene, please don't participate. Watch quietly and respectfully. When I'm flogging somebody, I do not need to hear you tell me to hit him harder.
Or, I made him cry last week.
Come here, one more chair.
Yeah, the one thing that I do not appreciate, whether I'm playing a scene or just watching a scene, is somebody, I call it heckling.
Yeah.
Because you should know better than to start yapping in the middle of a scene or trying to butt in. Can I try that? No. You were not negotiated into the scene. Go away. You can sit and watch quietly or you can leave.
Break my concentration and negotiate it or not, you're next.
Yeah. So let's start with a quickie on blood sports.
Gosh, a quickie?
A quickie.
A quickie, yes.
Dang, Daddy Bear. With you, it's always a longie, never a quickie.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Okay, blood sports are include, but not limited to, piercing, cutting, body shaving, biting, anything that can draw blood. That also includes wax play. It can include electricity play if you cut the skin. Anything that can actually cause a blister or break the skin is considered blood play, as far as I'm concerned. Now, certain people say, okay, razor blades, cutting, things like that, piercing, temporary piercing, that's blood play. But anything that can break skin or cause bleeding, to me, is blood play. Yeah, biting, especially,
okay,
especially in the world.
Bite.
Well, yeah,
I don't bite and make you bleed. I just bruise you.
Yeah, but true.
Yeah.
But I mean, especially with and there is a very specific fetish, vampirism, where people specifically bite to draw blood. And if that's your thing, you need to know what you're doing. I don't agree with it. Because
there's too many risks.
Well, I'm not even talking about HIV. There are so many other diseases and issues and problems that could arise from doing this. But if that is your choice, make sure that you're very well informed and very well educated in whatever scene you're playing.
Yeah, HIV is not the only bloodborne disease.
No.
And hepatitis C is more scary than HIV is.
Yeah. And Hep C, there's a huge swing with Hep C in the gay and straight community across the board, so...
Yeah.
Okay, so, things you need to know. I think the most important thing when it comes to blood spores is don't take aspirin.
Oh, no,
for a painkiller. Aspirin is a blood thinner. That is why they give it to people having a heart attack.
It increases the blood flow.
Jetta just grabbed her forehead and started shaking her head. Oh, no, Lord,
and don't be on blood thinners and
right.
But blood sports.
There's actually somebody who no longer lives in the city, but I still will not mention his name, went and got a PA and was working at a certain leather shop at the time, and he came into work, and I thought he was wearing black jeans. He was not wearing black jeans under his chaps. They were faded blue jeans that were very dark because he went and got a piercing and then took 4 or 5 aspirin for the pain. You don't take aspirin with a piercing or any kind of blood play because it's a blood thinner. It'll just make you bleed more.
If you don't know what kind of medications you're taking, find out. Because some people don't know what medications are blood thinners, things like Coumadin, Warfarin, and all that stuff. It'll make you bleed bad.
And just so everybody knows, I've got two EMTs in the house. I've got another one studying
medical technology,
and Clayton is also an RN. So we have the medical board here as well to answer your questions if you have any. Now that we got that out of the way.
The phone lights up. Yes, no.
Yeah, and that person that I was talking about, we call him Boy Carrie. That's his nickname, because if you remember the movie Carrie, he was literally covered in blood by the end of the evening. We sent somebody to Walgreens to get him some Grampers to wear under his jeans.
His jeans looked black and his skin was green.
Yes, and he was wearing a few maxi pads shoved down the front of his jeans. So, don't wear aspirin, okay? I mean,
Don't wear aspirin.
I mean, don't crush it up and smear it on a cut.
Don't wear aspirin.
Yeah, don't use aspirin.
Don't do that.
Okay, blood spores. Temporary piercing, cutting. Temporary piercing does not normally cause bloodletting until you actually remove the needles. So, and unless you own your own personal enclave, use single-use disposable needles. And
why you be looking at me, Daddy?
I ain't looking at you, baby. I just want some backup.
That's true. If you don't have your own autoclave, then sterile needles are just is too easy to get sterile needles now. So
yeah, and you can get individually wrapped, packaged, sterilized needles that are single-use. Throw them away. Always throw them away properly. If you don't know, find out.
They need to be in a hazard container.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean an empty milk jug or a Coke bottle.
It is a red container with a big hazard sign on it.
Mm-hmm.
It says biohazard. If you don't have one at home, you can put them in a soda can and take them to your nearest hospital. They will put them in their biohazard.
You can get a biohazard container at any medical supply store.
Yes, and I think you can actually get them at Walgreens, CVS, and everywhere else because they sell diabetic supplies there, which includes needles. So you can also get biohazard containers at a pharmacy. So
the important thing to remember is that if you are going to break the skin, if you're going to play in blood sports, and if you are going to break the skin, use something that is surgically sterile.
Now, that takes me to my next point. People who use knives, razors, straight razors, razor blades, sterilize before play, after play. You can get straight razors at most fetish shops. Heck, you can go to a knife store over at Trader's Village and get a straight razor.
You get a straight razor at most beauty supply stores.
Yeah, and definitely. No, dipping it in bourbon does not sterilize it.
No, and if you dip in a bourbon, please don't lick it off.
Ah, you would speak with forked tongue.
Yeah, if you speak with forked tongue, yeah, go sit on a reservation for an hour and see what the Indians say, the American Indians. Individual razors, the ones that you can use for, like, box cutters and stuff, you can get those. They come in packs of 10 to 100, whatever, if you want to use those. Antibacterial wipes are definitely a must, and it needs to be antibacterial to clean any kind of wound, piercing, cutting that you do, because the last thing you want to do after you cut somebody or do needle play when you pull the needles out is to give them an infection from the open wound. So, things that you need when you're playing, wear rubber, latex, vinyl, neoprene gloves, protect yourself if you're the top, from the blood.
It does not include dishwashing gloves.
Yeah, we're not talking about those dishwashing gloves.
No.
Minimal exam quality gloves.
Yeah, I mean, you can get neoprene, vinyl, rubber gloves at Home Depot. They come in packs of like 50 and 100, and they come in 8 fashionable colors now. So
I like the blue ones.
I like the purple ones.
Yeah.
And the black ones.
The black ones are really cool. But the black ones are hard to find now because so many Leathermen and so many people.
A lot of tattoo artists are using blacks too.
Yeah, but they normally order theirs directly from supply company. But finding them in like Home Depot or Lowe's, it's really hard to find the black ones because so many
people. You don't find the colored ones in Home Depot.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. The last time we went to get paint for the bathroom, they had 6 colors there.
You know why they like the black ones? Because if it develops a hole,
it's real easy to see. Yeah. But the color gloves are a good choice because, exactly like Ben said, if a color glove, if you pop a hole in the glove or it develops a hole, it's real easy to see because you see your skin poking through. With the clear or the white ones, it's really hard to tell sometimes. So, yeah. Sterile bandages. Most definitely need sterile bandages. Keep them ready. Keep them available in case you need them, obviously, for aftercare. Those you can get at any pharmacy. Body shaving, well, this in itself is not considered blood sports. It can be because if you're shaving somebody who's hairy, you're going to get welts. You always have the possibility when you're shaving somebody of getting razor cut, razor burn. What? Oh, Mama's trying to shave off.
No, I was thinking of popping zits. You know, that's another sport.
Ew.
Okay.
All right, look, I can't help it if I hold the championship trophy.
Okay, that is a singular fetish, and that's not covered.
That's a compulsion, not a fetish.
That's not a topic for tonight.
Is there a hanky color for that?
No, I don't think so. I hope not, because I would need the lone stranger on
it's
that
a, it's
one.
It's a white tube of Clearasil in your back pocket.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what it is.
No. Clearasil, that's so old school. It's clean and clear.
Proactive.
That's it. You need a picture. If you're going to play the zit fetish, then you need to carry a picture or a poster of Jessica Simpson in your back pocket.
Oh, no kidding.
That's exactly where she needs to be.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, biting can produce. A lot of people are into a biting fetish, but not necessarily to break the skin, but it can happen.
Yep.
Put your tongue back in your mouth, baby bear. Baby bear's into biting my butt, so I think all of you already know this. So
he still is owed 36 for his birthday.
Yeah. I would say bite me, but you would, yeah.
Uh-huh. But
yeah.
I can leave lasting bite marks on the baby bear.
Yeah, yeah. You bit him, and that bite mark lasted for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, but you already got your Christmas present early, so you can deserve to still get your bites.
Keep in mind that everybody's skin thickness is different. So, I mean, obviously, before you play bite, know if they've got thin skin, know if they're hemophiliac, know if they're on blood thinners, blah, blah, blah. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, you have the vampire fetish thing going on. That you're seeing, fine. Know what you're getting into. Do your research and what bloodborne illnesses and diseases can be transmitted. So, checklist. Single-use needles, sterile cutting utensils, antibacterial wipes, rubber, neoprene, or latex gloves, preferably in color so you can see if they tear. sterile bandages, and
no aspirin.
Don't wear it, don't take it, it's really okay.
Yeah, don't
no
wear
Coumadin,
aspirin.
No Coumadin, no Plavix.
These are all blood thinners, yeah. And if you are on blood thinners for like heart condition or something, yeah, don't do the blood sport thing. What?
I thought this page said whiteheads.
No, it says. He's on the zit thing.
And the butt biting will happen later.
Yeah, wet heads. We're talking about water sports now. We're gonna move on.
Can't you?
Okay, things you need to know about water sports. A lot of people have. Everybody has their own level of play with this. Some people like to be just peed on, some like to only be the top in the situation, some like to drink it, some like fornicating, some, I mean, you're just across the board with this fetish. What you need to know is urine, for the most part, is sterile, but it can still transmit bacteria and other things, correct?
Yes.
So if you're going to ingest or internalize it, you need to know, obviously, with anything, you need to know the status of your partner.
I know of a way we can say that over the air.
Huh.
Without using the bomb.
Uh-huh.
Fornicate? A urine enema on tap.
Actually, if you really get to the details of it, urine is sterile until it gets to about a centimeter coming out of the body.
So it starts to exit the body, and it's because sterile for the person that it comes out of, not necessarily the person it's right. going on to.
Exactly. Remember, this is a bodily fluid. Remember that.
But everybody gets this, thinks that urine is sterile, and it's not. And no. Once it gets to the point where it's coming out of the body, it's not sterile. So urine is not sterile. The only place urine is sterile is inside of your body.
Everybody got that?
Good.
If you are going to play this, dietary conditions and dietary considerations. Green vegetables, red meats, dark sodas, dark teas, coffee will all turn your urine bitter. We've all heard the term asparagus pee.
Ascarabus,
yeah.
Ascarabus.
Asparagus. I'm sorry, I'm channeling my sister. She says ascarabus. She also says puschetti instead of spaghetti. So.
Oh, my.
An air conditor.
Ash conditor.
Ash conditor.
It's not an air conditioner. It's an ash conditor. Yeah. But, yeah, we've all heard that term. So just keep in mind dark vegetables will do that. Liquors, most dark liquors will do that.
And Moo Moo Kitty.
Yeah, that's a cow. So, light foods, think salad ingredients, stay away from tomatoes. Obviously, tomatoes are very acidic. Light meats such as pork, chicken, fish. Fish is debatable, but light vegetables, light teas, clear soda, clear liquor. Beer is always good. People always say they're tanking up on beer. Beer is the best way to play if you're going to play this.
Why is fish?
Debatable,
yeah,
because I can't stand the taste of it.
That doesn't come out in your urine.
I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. Things that will not affect a flavor
fish
if
won't.
That's what you're into. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Fish won't affect the flavor,
and that's what I'm saying. It's just debatable because I wouldn't eat it. So, so if you're gonna play, know the level of play. I would suggest play with yourself in the bathtub. See how far you're into it and whether or not you even like it.
Do that all the time.
Are not the rubber duckies included?
Yeah, rubber duckies are included, yes.
Okay, let's check it. Okay. Because I can't do it without rubber ducky.
A rubber ducky, you're the one. Okay, so drinking, recycling, ingesting, or intaking in any way, these are the things you need to keep in mind. It is body temperature. It's like tepid tea. Keep
I need to refrigerate
mind.
You.
Yeah.
Ew.
So,
stick your partner in the refrigerator.
What is that in the refrigerator? Never mind.
It's lemonade. Have some. Might need a little bit of Splenda, but it's good. Yeah.
Baby Bear says,
hey,
Mama,
baby,
Mama, why is box? Daddy Bear in the fridge? I'll tell you later.
So, We have covered that quickly. I think what we probably need to do is take a break. Chris has some announcements. We're going to play a song, and then we will come back and continue.
It's time to do our PSAs and give you more information on KPFT elections. This is After Hours. We'll be back in just a bit.
Lamar High School Alumni Association present Lamar alumni and nine-time Tony winner Tommy Toon in Steps in Time, a Broadway biography in song and dance, featuring the Manhattan Rhythm Kings at the grand opening of the Ned S. Holmes Performance Hall. This event will take place October 21st, 2009. There are two events, a 3 p.m. rehearsal and a 7:30 p.m. performance. Lamar High School is located at 3325 Westheimer in Houston, Texas. For ticket information, go to the Lamar High School Alumni Association website, www.lamarhsalumni.com. Again, that is www.lamarhsalumni.com. KPFT Houston.
In keeping with KPFT's mission of bringing the voices of the community to you, here is one of your candidates in the upcoming election for local station board.
Greetings, listeners. My name is Susie Moreno. I am running for the local station board, and I am here to solicit your vote. I am a strong proponent of education. My interest in KPFT is fueled mainly by the fact that its main focus is education of the public. I started listening to KPFT 10 years ago and have been impressed with the content and dedication of many programs that aired, and I became more aware of the need for public non-profit broadcasting. I am running for the station board because I would like to contribute back to something that has meant so much to the community. I believe that KPFT encourages and supports inclusiveness between people, community, and nation. My name is Susie Moreno, and I hope that you consider voting for me.
That was a statement by Susie Moreno, KPFT Houston.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Welcome back to After Hours on KPFT. This is the Leather Ties segment. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, your host of Leather Ties, along with my co-host, Master Buzz Lawson.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're here with Baby Bear, Daphne, Chetta, Ben.
Well, Ben's not here at the moment.
But... Ben's out sucking hard and fast on the back patio. We're talking about a cigarette right now.
Oh, and I was playing strip and tell with Jimmy out in the...
Yeah, they were playing strip and tell where everybody was comparing tattoos during the musical interlude.
Interlude.
So, yeah, I just say musical interlude because it really ticks off Jimmy when I say interlude. I don't know why he has an aversion to that word, but he does. The music we've been listening to tonight is basically what I call old school industrial. It's the stuff I used to dance my butt off to at Numbers when I was a twink. Way back in the 80s.
That's a cute little butt, though.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't dance it all the way off.
No, I didn't dance it all the way off. It just got bigger and better,
right? It's much perfect for me.
I'm sorry, you don't see it from the view I see. I'm like, oh, really?
Okay, so I got a nice ass. Thank
you. There you go.
Earlier, we started out the show with Front 242, and that last song we heard was Rigor Mortis by Split Second. They only put out two albums, and then the group broke up, but Split Second, both of their albums are phenomenal. Go get them if you like industrial. Anyway, back to the topics at hand. Last year, I did a three-month, four-month kind of series of fetish play in the safe and sane ways to play, and I've been asked several times to recap it, so we're recapping it tonight. We just got finished with a few other topics. We're moving on to handballing now.
Woo-hoo.
Handballing, more commonly called fisting, which is a misnomer because most people don't take a clenched fist. It is referred to normally as handballing.
Only very, very advanced players.
Yeah,
I've known quite a few that have...
But we're going from a beginner's aspect through whatever.
Yeah.
It is not a closed fist that is used. It is extended fingers squeezed very tightly together.
With your thumb?
No, not always.
With your thumb tucked in.
Normally,
it's not.
Normally,
for beginners,
Okay, normally when you...
I've been up to here with this.
Great, but that was obviously not a beginner. That was somebody who was experienced getting up past the elbow. And that's also when normally when you start, you have to start with your... Without the hand clenched, you have to start with your fingers and your thumb folded to get in.
Especially now with that finger.
Well, no, not with that finger. No, not responsible for lost jewelry, okay? And if I lose it, I will go back in digging for it.
That and Kitty's got claws.
Yeah, Kitty's got claws.
Yeah, trim
I trimmed them. Yeah, I trimmed them 2 days ago, and they're already grown out again.
I like Kitty's claws. Don't trim.
Okay, so the mindset on this, if you want it, you can probably take it, unless you literally have a medical condition or have had rectal surgery. And I'm using rectal fisting, handballing as a reference because I am a gay male. But there is also vaginal handballing. So, from the perspective we're talking about in the gay community, that's what we're going to be focusing on with this topic. Concerns, myths, permanent stretching. No, that's a myth.
Do your Kegels.
Yeah, do your Kegel exercises, baby. permanent stretching is really an urban legend. It's an urban myth. That thing that if you do this, you'll be wearing diapers by the time you're 40 because you won't be able to control your bowels. No, that's not correct.
I heard that last night from somebody.
If anything, if this is a scene you're into, even somebody who's only done it once or twice and is just getting in the scene, you will know that you actually get tighter because you're working a muscle grouping. So when you work out the muscle grouping, they just get tighter and stronger. And you will learn...
You get He-Man sphincter.
Tearing can happen if you're not playing correctly, if you have long fingernails.
And something that isn't in the notes here that I wanted to note is that the tearing is not necessarily in the external tissues. Remember that the inside... Those tissues are very thin.
And very, very delicate.
Fragile. Very delicate. And the blood vessels are very close to the skin, very close to those tissues. So make sure that nails are trimmed very closely. Even if you should always wear gloves, even if you're wearing gloves, make sure to trim your nails. If you can run them across your arm, the inside of your arm, and feel something, understand the tissues inside that rectum are far more delicate. You can easily tear something, and that kind of bleeding will not be noticed for several days, and it's very, very dangerous.
And it can be very uncomfortable, but then you also have fecal matter getting into your bloodstream.
And there are no nerve endings there either, so be very, very careful, because you're not going to feel the pain of a tear there. You're not going to know you've been torn until you start pooping blood.
Yeah. One good practice, obviously, always wear gloves. If you're using most lubes that are specifically designed for this are latex compatible.
Yes.
Know what kind of lube you're using and what it's compatible with. If it's not latex compatible, get neoprene gloves instead. Get vinyl gloves instead. They will not melt in any lube that I know of.
Do not use shortening or butter. They contain salt.
Yes, and that's not good for your body. Even the stuff that they say is salt-free still has salt in it.
That old adage of Crisco is not really true.
Yeah. Well, actually, Crisco has been used, and it's a lot, but it's not healthy for you. Let's put it that way. it does work, but it's not healthy for
it's
you.
Not healthy. No, it's not.
And if you are going to play the scene, what I would suggest is I would wear two pairs of gloves on one hand if you're going to do this. That way, at least you're double protected. Yeah, and it does help keep tears down. Pain. There's always a bit of initial uncomfortableness, but it should not be painful. If it's painful, you're moving too fast, and you need to slow down, back up. This is not something like you see, and don't take your cues from a porno movie.
No.
Really don't take your cues from a porno movie, because this scene can be very dangerous. If you're taking your cues from a porno movie, you're not seeing the 20, 30, 45 minutes that bottom in that movie spent relaxing and stretching and building up with toys to the point that they can actually just slurp a fist in. So don't think that because you see it in a movie and it looks so easy for them to do it. Yeah, it's easy for them to do it because they spent an hour off camera getting ready to do this. This is not a quick scene. It is a scene that does take time.
It's involved.
Yeah. It's involved. And if you're new to this scene, don't think just because you can't take it the first time doesn't mean you'll never be able to do it. If it's a scene that you're really into, it's just a matter of learning how to control your body. Things you need to know about your own body you probably don't know. Yes, the sphincter that you see on the outside, the poop chute, the hole that we all commonly can see from the outside of your body is only one sphincter.
The brown eye?
You have, yeah, the brown eye.
You get it bleached.
You have more, yeah. Have you heard of that anal bleaching?
Anal bleaching
is nasty.
Anal
bleaching is nasty, no. I mean, if you're really into that, you know, just get
Should I play the Linda Ronstadt song, Don't Make My Brown Eye Blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be more like, Doesn't Make My Blue Eyes Brown. Wait, that was Crystal Gayle.
Yes.
That was Crystal Gayle.
I was trying not to show my age and just threw out a name I thought sounded right.
But it was a good one. It was close. I mean, they kind of looked like, except one had hair all the way down to her,
ankles,
and the other one had really short bob, but they looked similar other than that. Yeah, long hair's more fun to yank on when you're... That's what his beard is for. Anyway, back to... You have more than one sphincter.
In that one opening, there are two rings of sphincter muscle.
Correct. You have the external sphincter, the brown eye, as we shall now call it. Thank you, Ben. And about 3 inches in, you have a secondary sphincter. That's the one that when you got to go and you're stuck in your car that your body clamp down with. That's the one you need to learn to control, okay? So if you can get past the first sphincter, you have the second sphincter to contend with, and that's what you need to learn to control, and Kegel exercises and toys will help you learn how to expand and contract that muscle. So keep in mind you have more than one sphincter. And
somebody in the booth is having a lot of fun with this topic.
Yeah, he is. He's just giggling and smiling.
What
look
are
at
he
him.
Sitting on over there?
Yeah, what are you sitting on?
Oh,
yeah.
He's bouncing.
Whatever it is.
It wasn't Chris. It was this one over here. You can't see him.
I can't see him from here.
Whatever it is, I think we lost it.
Things you need to keep in mind.
Oh, hi, sweetie.
You need to use the correct lubes. Don't use something that's going to dry out. A lot of people use J-Lube.
Did you explain Kegels?
Yes, Kegel exercises, yes. I think if you don't know what a Kegel exercise is, go to Google and type in the word Kegel exercise.
K-E-G-E-L.
Kegel. named after the person who created this exercise routine.
This exercise, basically.
Kegels work great.
If you do them right, they're really good.
Yeah, you definitely learn how to control your muscles, muscle groupings, whether it's the front or the back, male or female.
Run right through that right quick. Auction that off for me one more time.
As far as trimming your nails, the best thing to do is clip your nails, take a nail file, and go from the top only in a single stroke and go down across the nail to create a rounded edge. Then, again, like I said, wear multiple gloves if you're going to do this. And the best advice I can give you is relax. You've got to learn to relax. You've got to get in the right mindset.
And we're not talking Frankie Goes to Hollywood relax.
Oh, well, I tried.
they were starting to go all relax. Frankie Goes to Hollywood
don't
on
do
us here.
It if you want.
Okay, here's the big deal with handballing is I call it the thumb war. It's you get the four fingers in, getting past that thumb knuckle, that thumb joint is always the bitch. So the best way to do that is if you were going up to somebody, and this sounds crude considering the context of them, shaking hands with somebody, that's how you would insert. Because the sphincter muscle will actually stretch vertically more than it will horizontally. So if you're going to do, if you are the top or the bottom, when you are going for the initial insertion, go in as if shaking hands. Fold your thumb in as far as you can into the palm of your hand and go in as though you were going to shake hands with somebody vertically.
That's really
going
to give a whole new meaning to how you doing for me from now on.
I know it is.
Nice to meet you. Oh.
But that is the easiest way to actually get a hand in your hole.
I actually had my first experience.
Now, once the hand is in the hole, yes, you can twist back and forth, you know, and do whatever's turning you on and feeling good. But that's the easiest way to get in and the easiest way to extract a hand from the hole. Stimulants. Do not use stimulants. And if you're new to this scene, this means don't get drunk, don't get stoned, keep the poppers in the nightstand, don't pull out the poppers, because for most people, poppers heighten your senses, and your tendency of your body is to clamp down.
Not only that, but on things that are like poppers, anything that's like mind-altering even for a moment will cause you to take risks that you should not take.
Right. So, and one trick for those who are the bottom in the scene, the best thing I can say is when it gets to the thumb war, push like you've been constipated for a week. Because if you push, it forces your sphincters open.
Mm-hmm.
And that will allow the hand to go in. He's sitting there laughing, but trust me on this.
No, I made a rude comment.
We should probably talk about using the salad shooter first, though.
Well, yeah, you need to use the salad shooter. If those of you who don't listen regularly, we call a shower shot a salad shooter. Because this new generation of 20, 30-year-olds, they say tossing your salad, that means rimming. Yes, you. They could call it tossing your salad. So if you're going to toss somebody's salad, you need to use the salad shooter first to get clean. So we don't call it a shower shot. We call it a salad shooter. So use the salad shooter. Make sure you're clean.
It's a sprinkler for inside.
Jimmy has a question. Only. Yes, use fresh water.
Don't use soaps.
Don't use soap. Don't use shampoo. Don't use lube. If you need lube just to get a shower shot in there, then you probably shouldn't even go into the scene, okay?
Right.
but so that is the easiest way to get in and out. And as a bottom, if you push while the hand is being inserted past that thumb joint, it does force the sphincters open and allows you to take it much easier.
And if you're bottoming this scene, once that hand goes in, there's a tendency to forget to breathe.
Yes, so
remember
make sure
to breathe.
And that is your top job, to make sure that you are comfortable and that you are breathing. And also keep in mind, if you're the bottom and you're new to this scene, your body's first instinct is to clamp down and then turn around and try to push the hand back out. It's trying to expel. That's what that hole does.
But when you're pushing, you stop breathing. That's part
right.
of...
But once
the actual action of it.
Of pushing, yes.
Right. And it's you also like, have to be careful in that situation where you have to be, there's a, God, what is the name of the Valsalva?
Vagal maneuver.
Valsalva. That's what I thought it was.
Explain Valsalva. What that is.
Basically what it is the nerve endings right in there can stimulate
lowering your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to start
the
scene standing.
Part of the reason why you get real floaty. It's part of the reason why a lot of people fly when this activity is going on is because they do the vagal maneuvers and blood pressure drops. They get a little less oxygen to their brain and suddenly they're flying. So you have to watch and be careful because sometimes they'll pass.
Yeah, or watch an episode of House or something when they have a baby birth because they always tell you breathe. Push. Okay, you know, that's what you need to do. You need to remember, push and then breathe. Okay, everybody got that. Good.
One, two, three, push.
Do these rules also apply to vaginal handballing?
Yes, because just like with anal handballing, vaginal handballing, women have a lot of muscle groupings there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, can we talk about that? What is that scene in Priscilla where she shoots the ping pong balls? That's called muscle control. Yeah. And learning how to control those muscles, contract and relaxing those muscles, it's the same concept, just on the other end. The flip side of a coin.
Everybody's looking at you. Steve.
Everybody's looking at Jetta right now, and she's like, why are you looking at me? I don't do that.
Like, well, yeah, I do. No, she does not do the ping pong ball.
No, she doesn't do ping pong balls or a fist. No.
Jetta? Yeah, she does.
Okay, well, okay. Jetta's a good girl in public.
But when we get behind closed doors,
she's a naughty little piggy.
And that is, by the way, a lovely shade of red.
I was going to say, she's blushing very well.
Actually, the ears are not scarlet yet, but they will be in about 10 seconds.
Yeah, I can say your ears are probably starting to heat up because they're turning red. So that's handballing in a nutshell. Anybody have any other questions?
I actually have an addition. I had my first experience with a boy with this little particular activity.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to know your partner has hemorrhoids.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely. Any scene like this, as we stated earlier, and I restated again, know the status of the partner you're playing with. Know what drugs they are on. Blood thinners, obviously, are not. If they have low blood pressure, high blood pressure, if they're on heart medication, if they're diabetic. Know if they have hemorrhoids,
internal
fissures,
or external,
fissures.
Things
whatever.
Where, you know, I was like, I haven't done a boy before in that little area. Quite an interesting trip, actually, for me.
I didn't know.
I was surprised.
If somebody has hemorrhoids,
gently.
Well, yeah,
it really isn't advisable.
It's not advisable. Yes, it can be done. But sometimes some people don't know. I mean, they don't have pain from a hemorrhoid. They don't know they have one.
Oh.
It's actually...
But that is also something to keep in mind.
Internal hemorrhoids are more dangerous because they can strangulate.
They can strangulate and or probably pop.
They can rupture.
Right.
Oh.
They can rupture
the
and
external
pop,
hemorrhoids
so.
aren't as...
Well, you can watch them.
You can see them. You don't have to.
Right.
It's more visible. You're able to tell what's happening with them. But the internal hemorrhoids are the ones that could be a real danger. And people generally know if they have internal hemorrhoids or external hemorroids.
Mm-hmm.
So they should.
And yes, they will shortly.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Next, I want to cover real quickly the myths and dispel the myths and rumors about wax play, and then I want to move on and get Mama and Baby Bear talking about some, and Buzz talking about some electricity and how to play safely with that.
Oh, no,
and
let them talk about the electricity. I'll talk about the bondage. Yeah.
Okay, and then Ben and I are going to talk about sounding.
Okay. We have some interesting pictures of that.
Those were good pictures, too. I call this segment Wax On, Wax Off.
The waxer.
The waxer. So I'm going to say, I'm just going to do some true or false. True or false, never use scented candles. False. You can use scented candles. Truth is, scented candles don't burn that much hotter than an unscented candle. Most candles burn between 103 and 106 degrees. It's no different than the temperature of a hot tub. What you need to keep in mind is if you're using scented candles, some oil, scented candles, they use oil for the scent. Beeswax candles also. People say never use beeswax. Yes, you can. They burn. It takes a higher temperature for a beeswax candle to burn. Regular candles and scented candles burn between 103 and 106 degrees. Beeswax candles burn about a... They won't actually start melting to about 108 to 112 degrees, which means you just adjust the height of your candle wax drip.
Yeah. The wax cools on its way from the candle to the skin. Gauge the distance from the skin to the candle.
Correct.
By the candle you're holding.
Personally, I don't like using scented candles for this type of play unless they are leather scented. But when it comes down to it, I like using unscented tapers. I think they're the funnest. Again,
storm candles work
great. The most fun. I'm sorry, we're in the South. Let's say funnest down here.
You're the funnest.
You're the funnest I've ever had.
You're the mostest funnest. Votive candles, tea light candles, can cause permanent scarring. Take them out of the metal tin. Don't be an idiot. And when you take them out of the tin, keep in mind that tea light candles have that little metal tab on the bottom which holds the wick in place. Take the little metal tab off if you're going to put it on somebody's skin. Another fun thing to do, go down to a beauty supply store and get the wax that they use for... Oh, Ben is showing his sounding pictures. Okay. So, go down to a beauty supply store and get the wax they use for waxing bodies. That stuff is a lot of fun to play with. A lot of things to do with this wax, put it in a crock pot, put the crock pot, melt it down.
All it is paraffin.
It's just paraffin wax, and it really does actually do very well for moisturizing the skin as well, because it's used
That's
for...
That's what it's used for.
It's used for Brazilian waxing and things like that.
With the submersion.
Yeah.
Pots.
It's great on your feet. It's great on your hands.
You can just...
get a ladle and dip it right out of there and put it on.
Exactly. Get a ladle. The fun thing to do with that is actually coat somebody's body with... the wax, and then you can turn around and put tea light candles in that wax while it's still warm and just wash the tea and turn them into a candelabra. It's beautiful. And as the tea light candles melt down and that wax heats up the paraffin again, the paraffin will start to melt and they still get the fun sensation of the heat without the burn. As with any other kind of play, this can cause burning, blistering, and bloodletting. So the rules of blood sports do apply. Make sure that you have a fire extinguisher, since wax candles fire. Keep a fire extinguisher where you can get to it. And keep bandages. Keep antibacterial wipes. I'm sorry, I'm thinking anti-what?
Wow.
Keep anti-mame on file.
Burn cream
is really great.
What? Skip the last one about the other falsehood.
Reuse wax. Oh, yeah. But you can reuse wax. People say you can't reuse wax, and I'm going to spend a fortune in candles. No. The nice thing about the paraffin, definitely, you can, when the paraffin cools off, you can literally peel off the sheet of paraffin. You have their body imprint on there. It's really cool. But any other kind of wax, you can, once you take the wax off and scrape the wax off, you can put it in a crock pot or a double boiler, melt it down again. Skin cells, body hair, whatever, it's going to float to the surface. Skim it off. You've got wax to use. Put a lid on it and save it for the next time you play. I would suggest, though, if you're playing with different people, use new wax on somebody else. You can reuse wax on the same person. Don't use it on somebody else. To me, that's just the clean way to play. But, yeah.
It's kind of rude. Who's that?
Now, for those of you who, like me, are hairy, and I've had my legs fused together. How do you get the wax off your body? The best way to get the wax off the body, but actually retain your body hair and your skin,
is let it cool.
Let it cool, but to get it back off of your body, the best thing to do is soak in a hot bathtub. The bathtub, the heat from the water will actually warm up the wax enough that you can literally just take your hands and rub the wax out of your body hair and rub it off your body again.
It'll make for a messy tub. But
and the easiest way to clean your tub is...
hot water.
Hot water, Ajax, Clorox. The best thing to do is put a strainer, like a kitchen strainer, on the drain so the wax doesn't go down and clog up your pipes.
Right.
Drain the water, then let the tub cool, get a spatula, scrape the wax off the sides of the tub, throw that wax away. Do not reuse that wax.
Ew.
And then it's real easy to get some Comet or some Ajax or some soft scrub and clean your tub.
That's not being environmentally safe, though.
Whatever you want to use to clean your tub, which you normally scrub your tub and toilet with, you can clean it from there. But the easiest way, do not let the wax get down into your pipes, obviously. If you have, if you're renting, I don't think your landlord would appreciate it. And if you're in your home, I don't think you would appreciate a $600 plumber bill.
One thing I want to make sure that we mention is never, ever, ever play with wax on oiled skin.
Yes.
Anytime you're going to get anything near burning temperature, make sure to clean the skin thoroughly with alcohol.
Rubbing alcohol.
And let it dry.
And we mean rubbing alcohol, not gin.
Hey.
Uh-uh.
We had an accident happen here in Houston several years ago with somebody who
was
doing...
Well, that was with a cupping scene. That was a fireplace.
With the tea light candles and putting the cups over it, and the top actually oiled the person's back in order to get a good suction on the cups. And the oil caught fire.
The oil was flammable, and so, and that's
and
that
the bottom was permanently
has
scarred.
A permanent scar from that. So yeah, do not oil the body. If you're going to be using oils on the body, make sure that they are not flammable, obviously. And the best, again, the best way, especially that leads right into fire play. If you're doing fire play, you need to clean the body, clean the oils off the area that the body oils.
Because believe it or not, your body oils are flammable.
Yes, they are.
And so, some people are permanent fire extinguishers themselves. So.
Well, yeah, it took us 45 minutes to set Baby Bear on fire one time because the oil in his skin kept putting the flame out and we couldn't get him on fire. So the best way to clean the oils off your skin, use rubbing alcohol and wipe down the body. Let the rubbing alcohol dry because the rubbing alcohol is flammable, but it evaporates very quickly.
Yep.
We're with fire play. The best way to play is probably to explain what cupping is. You take a Most people will take a tab of leather or something that's not flammable, set it on the body. You take either a cotton ball and dip it in a little bit of rubbing alcohol, shake it out so it's not all drippy, so it's just damp, or a tea light candle or something like that. You light it on fire. You put the tab or the candle on the body, light it on fire, and then you take a votive and put it over that.
Upside down.
Upside down. So when the votive, basically all the oxygen is sucked out of the votive, the flame goes out, but the cup is literally adheres. It suctions onto the body.
It works just the same principle as an egg when you're...
The egg in the milk bottle.
The egg in the milk bottle.
Right. Yeah. Doing a hard-boiled egg in the milk bottle. You drop a match in the milk bottle, you put a hard-boiled egg on top of it.
And causes suction.
It creates a vacuum and it sucks the egg down in the milk
bottle. It's a third-grade science project gone awry.
So, and so, but if you're going to play this scene, like I said, always keep a fire extinguisher close by. If something happens with you accidentally burn the bottom, what you need burn cream, antibiotic ointments, you need dressing, fire extinguisher. Don't freak out. Don't run away. Don't run screaming in the night and leave that poor sub there. Take care of the person. You just damaged them. Take care of them.
Yep.
Aftercare is just as important as the actual scene.
If you broke it, you fix it.
Mm-hmm. And I will interject here, in anything you play, ow is not a safe word. Okay.
It can be. Not for everybody.
No.
Just establish what your safe words are, perhaps.
Yes.
And reestablish them during any scene.
Yes.
Universal red, green, yellow.
Yeah, well, universal red, green, yellow, like a stop sign. But I know people have the most bizarre safe words. So.
Clean up on aisle 9.
Yeah.
Clean up on aisle 9.
Yeah, that means stop.
Mine's blue.
Because when I reach that certain level, my brain doesn't work anymore.
Right.
I have a hard time remembering.
But again, most people and
just bananas and
I will suggest, considering that a sub when they start flying and the endorphins kick in, they may not necessarily be able to verbalize. I always suggest that you have a verbal and
as well as a physical.
A physical stop. So if you cannot speak, you negotiate the scene, say, well, this is my safe word. That means let's stop the scene. I'm done. I've had enough. If they're not able to verbalize, if I can't talk, then if I raise my right hand, that means stop. Or if I drop my left arm, that means stop. I'm done.
I actually asked one boy, what is your safe word? And he said, pumpernickel. And I said, you cannot be serious.
It's
best. You're
going to
remember how to say that when I'm beating the crap out of you.
It's best to use a one-syllable word.
Yes.
As your safe word.
Yep.
That's why the red, yellow, green thing is
blue.
So popular. Whatever your color is. But also always have a physical safe word, a physical safe gesture, I should
right.
say. And that can be anything from raising your arm, making from an open hand into a clenched fist, or if you've got a fist, opening your hand.
Well, if you're tied up, it's a little hard to raise your hand. So.
But no.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. You can just open and close your hand.
My local sir, mine and his nonverbal is two fingers.
Opening and closing the hand.
Basically, and four is red.
Right.
But opening and closing the hands can be part of the actual. It's really hard to
have that. But again, that's
part of negotiation.
You've got to negotiate whatever scene you're playing. You've got to negotiate a safe word and a safe gesture for that scene whatever you're playing.
As a top, if your mind is somewhere else, you're not responsible.
Oh, yeah.
You're not being responsible.
Yeah.
Oh, you're supposed to say you're not responsible. Yes, you are.
That's what I thought you said.
You are responsible. If your mind is somewhere else, you've got no business being in that scene.
Yeah.
Waterboarding, I've seen that use the rag. When you drop it, it stops.
Yeah.
Whether you dropped it by accident or not, doesn't matter.
And, yeah, waterboarding I'm not going to get into because I don't agree with that. So I think that waterboarding is not a safe scene, but that's me personally.
I would say if you're negotiating a scene with somebody for the first time and they're daydreaming, don't.
Yeah. So let's go move on real quickly to electricity. Or should we start with bondage?
Go with bondage.
Bondage. Rope play. Let's talk about what types of rope.
Let's talk about bondage in general. There are certain things that are safer to do than others. I love the look of handcuffs and shackles, and I have several pair. I don't generally use them in play scenes because anything that is metal can break bones. If they're not played with carefully, all you have to do is roll somebody over the wrong way and you're going to break a bone. So I do not suggest that anybody play with. They're fun to look at. They're fun to own. They're really great for dressing up for photographs, but they're not real wise for use in play scenes. Rope bondage is fun. I mean, there are several different kinds of rope bondage. There's rope bondage that's for decoration. And I took my cues from the one and only Mr. Smidori, who is, by the way, a delightful human.
I love Midori. She's an incredible woman.
She's deliciously evil.
Yes.
there are different knots to tie, but what Midori says in all of her classes, she says, rope bondage does not have to be pretty. She's, if you're dressing them up for a photograph or for just for the decorative bondage, great. Then these are the things that you can do, but I don't know all of these knots. I'm not a Boy Scout. We're going to call it that knot. And the only knot she uses is a square knot. And she calls it that knot. Now, I use a variation on that. I use a slip knot. It's not really a slip knot. It's a half hitch so that I can pull one rope and the whole thing falls off. The one thing you need to remember when you are binding someone is that if they panic, you have to be able to get them out of that quicker than you got them into it. So as you're tying, think about how do I untie this in a panic situation. Always keep in mind that when you're binding someone, no matter how much they said they really wanted to be bound because they like that helpless feeling can cause a panic attack. And if you don't get somebody help during a panic attack, it can actually kill them.
And some people say, oh, well, just cut the rope off. If they're in a panic attack, number one, they're already freaking out, and if you turn around and pull a knife on them, say, I'm going to cut the rope off, well, they're going to start squirming, struggling, you could end up cutting or seriously stabbing or hurting them. It's not a good option to do that. That's a very, very last resort.
Before going into a rope bondage scene where you are actually going to immobilize someone, one thing that you need to have in advance and handy is a pair of safety scissors. Something that is heavy enough with the blunted ends, something that you can get under. Yeah, medical shears work great. Have those scissors handy. Skip the rope. The life is more important.
Now, let's
cut the rope. You can always buy more.
Let's talk about rope itself. What's good rope and what's bad rope? On the boat.
All rope is good rope.
What's going to cause severe burn? What's not going to bother the body as much? What's going to be more pliable?
It depends on the body you're playing with.
Well, duh.
Educate us.
Okay, you've got nylon rope. You've got hemp rope. I hear cotton rope.
Okay, they say that the one of the misnomers is that hemp rope burns more than nylon rope. Well, the best way to determine what is going to burn is to drag it across your skin. First, really slowly and get that sensation, and then drag it across your skin really quickly. And you'll note that nylon rope will actually burn more than hemp rope. Hemp rope stretches, is more pliable. It actually adjusts with body temperature, where nylon rope does not. And nylon rope run across the body or tied too tight will actually cause rope burns. Whereas hemp rope, you may get that scratchy feeling, but it's not actually going to burn the skin and leave marks. So it depends on what kind. Yeah, as much. I mean, if you don't get any marks from rope bondage, then you're not doing it right.
Ben is showing off a few of his rope marks from this evening.
That's from a couple months ago.
Yep.
Oh, really? Okay.
What?
That's from a couple of months ago.
Yeah, that was from a couple of months ago. It's
but you say you were laying on it and it was being pulled out from underneath you. Yeah, when you can pull anything against skin that's pressed up against it. You can pull anything across it and you're going to get a burn. So be aware of the fact that what you are playing with is causing a sensation. Now, that sensation is different between cotton, hemp, nylon. Nylon rope tends to burn more readily than hemp rope. And it doesn't seem like it should, because you think of nylon rope as being smooth. Well, it's not smooth when it's being drug across the skin.
Yeah, it's like sandpaper.
Mm-hmm. So,
because it's a synthetic material.
Right.
Cotton rope doesn't hurt as much as nylon rope.
Before you play with anybody else with rope bondage, test the rope on yourself. Wrap it around your arm. Pull on it. See what that feels like. Know what you're doing before you do it. And don't tie anybody in a position where if they move the wrong way, they're going to pull a joint out. Don't dislocate somebody's arm by tying it behind them and then throwing them down on the bed on that side. You're going to dislocate their shoulder. Be aware of what you're doing to the body that you're playing with. Tie it up. Have a great time with it. But make sure they're having fun, too.
Yes.
And have those scissors handy, because if they go into a panic attack, cut the rope.
And again, keep in mind, honest bondage play, it's not pretty. If you went pretty, that's the stuff where you spend 2-3 hours creating a tortoiseshell or something like that to go out and be seen and something like that. I call it fashion bondage. That's all it's really good for. It looks cool. It makes you feel cool. But it's not practical for any kind of...
It's not immobilizing.
Immobilizing tool.
It's supposed to look good. I tie my boys up in it.
Yeah.
Parade them around at events.
Yes. They look good that way.
Put them in upper body tortoise shells and put
gauntlets
on them.
Yeah, the gauntlets are very cool. One thing, if you have any questions, if you need any tips, places we can get more information on this, Black Hawk Leather has a plethora of books.
Yes.
Leather and plethora.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but they have great books on knotting, on actual rope bondage kind of do's and don'ts, ways to tie people up that's not going to
cut off
circulation.
They actually sell Midori's book, The Erotic Art of Japanese Rope Bondage.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book.
Fun book.
It's a beautiful book, and it gives a lot of really good information. Just keep in mind that there are lots of books out there. Black Hawk carries a lot of them. You can find a lot of them online. And there are books on every topic that we have covered tonight, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It'd probably be harder to find books on, like, electricity and some of the other things.
Oh, no, Black Hawk has them.
Yeah, I know Black Hawk has some really good books, but best way to learn is learn from somebody live and in person.
Mm-hmm.
Reading a book and seeing it done live and having somebody sit down and actually teach you, this is how you tie somebody up. This is how you actually use a violet wand. This is how you play with wax. Seeing it done live and reading a book are two different things. Reading the book gives you a lot of really good information and whets your appetite to see it for real and learn it for real.
And if you're seeing it in a video, understand that what you're seeing was actually filmed for entertainment purposes. You're not really learning how it's done, what they're doing, or why. You're just seeing the entertainment value of it.
Right. So, speaking of violet wands.
Speaking of violet wands.
We have a couple of electro whores in the studio.
I'm probably the biggest electric whore. So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm the one that likes to do
you
it
like,
to
you're
you,
the one who
baby.
Likes to do it to me.
Yeah, me too.
I love to play with that.
Violet wands are probably the thing that are most common. They can be a little pricey.
There are two main types of violet wands. One is a clay-based core.
I was going to go and give a little history of where they came from.
Go for it.
Those are antiques.
Yeah.
They initially started out as a snake oil sales
beauty thing.
So it's quack medicine. Quack medicine.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be able to grow hair.
Actually,
does grow hair.
It does grow hair. It scares those little follicles into spitting out some hair.
No, but then it started being used by cosmetologists, and they started using it for facials and scalp treatments, which did end up really actually growing hair.
Is that why I'm getting a beard?
Yeah. That's why you're getting a beard.
those are just your estrogen levels dropping, dude.
And exactly where is that beard growing?
Bearded clam. Okay, here we go.
Oh, no, I did not go there.
Yes, you did.
You went there.
You alluded to it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't eat seafood, sorry.
Ick.
The original ones were made out of
wax.
That's what their core was made out of. Nowadays, they make them out of a ceramic, which ends up actually really lasting a lot longer. The wax ones will,
they're
used for an extremely long period of time, will actually melt. The ceramic ones will last
years.
Indefinitely.
Yeah.
You still don't want to probably run an ultraviolet wand.
I don't think we found one that will go to the lengths that you're willing to play.
I know, that's true.
It's bad when you have to sit it in front of a fan and go, okay, cool this off.
Now, I've had one that got a little too warm to handle.
No, we played him so long the violet wand overheated.
Yeah, we had to put it in front of a fan.
Yeah, after about the 45 minutes, so we had to take a break, just let the violet wand cool down so we'd go back and play him.
Yeah, that's about, you get 30 to 45 minutes of play out of that. 45 minutes is pushing it.
I have to understand, it gets hot for both people.
And the wonderful thing with violet wands is you can use a lot of different things, a lot of different toys.
Anything that conducts electricity.
One of the neatest things that I found out when we were...
Not the car antenna, dear.
No, the car antenna left marks.
That left marks while it was happening.
That
I can't
left
help
marks
it if you don't know
how
to say
owie.
Yeah, that left marks for like 2-3 weeks on
it. In case anybody's wondering, that's an antenna off of a...
BMW.
A BMW, and it's a completely metal antenna with a ball on the end, and it will concentrate that electricity right where you want to put it.
But
and some people don't say, ow.
Well, he was flying so far at that point, I don't think he could even talk. He was just kind of like...
But there's lots of different things you can use that will actually... Things that are metal that will conduct and give you different sensations with the violet wand.
And this includes fabric.
Yes.
I was going to say that.
I know. Tell us all about
one of the coolest things that I've seen done is with fabric. If you have fabric that has metal fibers in it.
Like lamé.
Like lamés or...
anything that's got that silver thread or gold thread woven through it.
It's an unbelievable feeling. It's because...
You never know where that's going to zap
you. It kind of just spreads out
all over
the entire... amount of electricity that's going through.
Took a big swatch of fabric and just laid it over his body and then just started touching with the violet wand. You could watch the sparks just fly across the fabric.
It was cool to do it with the lights off because it was really a spectacular show.
Yeah.
It's important to remember not to use it on materials that are synthetics. Some synthetics are very flammable and electricity does generate heat, and if you're wearing a synthetic that is flammable, you can actually have your garment go up in flames.
Or you can have your garment melt to your skin.
Yeah, it's more fun to electrocute them naked.
Yeah.
I much prefer naked electrocution.
But you can make toys out of anything. Christmas tinsel, that's great
stuff. That is a fantastic toy.
You take some Christmas tinsel, just take a handful of that stuff, wrap it in some electrical tape, and then just play all over the body with it. It's great. It just throws electricity all over the place.
There's bead chains. There's actually medical...
Wartenberg wheel.
Yeah. Medical devices that you can use that are very common to find now.
Lots of fun stuff in sewing kits as well.
I found another toy.
What's the one where the things all come out?
If you get a snare drum.
Yeah, snare drum. Yeah.
Snare drum. The drumsticks.
Those
snare
are drum fantastic. Brushes.
Because they have all the little metal.
Steel
guitar picks are great. The finger picks, the steel finger picks. For
those are great.
Guitar picks are great. You can pick those up at like Rock and Robin for like 20 of them for a dollar. It's like, they're really fun. Anything that will conduct electricity is really fun.
You want to go on to TENS units?
One thing I do want to say about electricity, keep in mind, electricity can burn. You can get burn marks. You can get blisters from it if you're playing too heavily. So
never put a positive and a negative on opposite sides of the heart.
Yeah, well, that's going into more like a TENS unit. Yeah. I'm talking electricity, violet wand.
A violet wand
will create burn marks.
Yes.
So keep in mind how you're playing and where you're playing. Don't concentrate all in one space. You're going to create burns and blisters.
But that's fun.
But do check your violet wand before you use it. You want to make sure your wires are not frayed.
Take care of your toys, and your toys take care of you.
That's right.
Jetta just asked if there's any areas you can't use the violet wand. The violet wand's more of a surface static, and so it really it's not gonna short circuit anything. We use it on your head.
Yeah, it doesn't deliver a direct charge. It delivers a static charge.
There are people that are like, oh, don't use that there. Because there are some places that are out.
Well, it's just like when you rub your feet across carpet
and you
get a shock when you touch something.
It's not the same.
That's what it is. It's static charge just like that.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a little station ID and get some PSAs out there. We'll be right back. We'll talk about TENS units. And so we're going to have our couple of PSAs here, station ID. We're going to play a song, and then we'll be back in a few.
On Sunday, November 8th, we want you to carry a club. After using it, you might feel teed off and you might be wearing plaid. You see, on Sunday, November 8th, KPFT is holding the second annual Hot Air Open, a fundraising golf scramble that will not be televised. Players and those that would like to help sponsor this event can find information and entry forms at hotairopen.org. The Hot Air Open will be held this year at the Southwick Golf Course. It's located off Highway 288 and Broadway in Pearland. Your entry fee includes cart, food, St. Arnold's beer and a chance to see KPFT personalities try to play golf. Spare Change, Cajun Bandstand, and Deadbeat bring you this event, so check it out at www.highairopen.org for more details. And we'll see you on Sunday, November 8th for what's going to be a great time.
Find your center. Picture the shot, Danny. Picture it. Turn off all the sound. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like that.
Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking. Not talking now.
90.1 KPFT, Houston.
In keeping with KPFT's mission of bringing the voices of the community to you, here is one of your candidates in the upcoming election for local station board.
My name is Jerome Bailman, and I seek your support to serve on the local station board of KPFT. It is my hope that I can effectively serve the mission of KPFT through my experience as a nonprofit's arts administrator and a local individual artist. I am interested to serve on the LSB to further independent expression for our city. I envision KPFT to continue to provide quality programming that reflects diverse audiences of our community. The station will better serve its listeners if we provide tools and training to the next generation of programmers. I would be very interested to develop more programmers that represent the voice of the Asian Pacific American community, a community that is underrepresented in KPFT programming.
That was a statement by Jerome Vilman. For complete candidate statements and more information about all of your candidates for the local station board, please visit kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, kpft.org.
Welcome back to After Hours, Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert with my co-host, Master Buzz.
Hello.
Ben, Jetta, hello. Daphne, Baby Bear are in the studio tonight. We are talking about different fetish plays and the ways to play safely and sanely and where to get information on it. The music we just listened to was, that last song was Nitzareb, DJ VD. And the song before that, I think, was Front 240. No, it was Divorce Song. Off of their first album, Strike to the Body. And we were talking about electricity and violet wands. I want to touch briefly on another type of electricity play, which is a tens unit.
There's tens units and
closer to the mic.
There's tens units and there's also
stem units.
Stem units.
Briefly, this is what? What is a tens unit?
A tens unit is a medical device that they use to put electrical current through muscle groupings to either perform some kind of therapeutic treatment on muscle spasms,
back
bad
pain.
Back, shoulder pain.
Causes the muscles to contract.
It contracts them and relaxes them
with an electrical impulse.
With the electricity.
And I have a bad back, so I have one actually.
Basically, a tens unit is a little box, and you hook up
electrodes.
Little electrodes, and they're pads that you actually sticky pads that you place on the body that run the electrical current from the little box.
And don't sit there and put, if you're doing it on like your shoulder, don't sit there and put the box in the same hand that you're.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really.
I most famously did that. I had messed up my arm and I put a tens unit. I put the pads on my arm and, not thinking, I used the same hand to turn on the tens unit. So the minute that the pads started with the electrical impulse, my hand was still on the knob, and the electrical impulse caused my fingers to just go whoop and turned it up all the way, and I looked like friggin' Quasimodo. I was just like,
why are you hitting yourself? Why are you?
Yeah.
I'm not turning off.
And I'm sitting there yelling, "Turn it off!"
And I'm laughing,
and he's just sitting there laughing. In the meantime, I'm in extreme pain. The damn thing was causing more damage than what it was fixing.
It was too funny.
If you're gonna use a tens unit, yeah, don't turn it on with the same arm that you put the pads on. Okay.
that's with most electricity. You want to start slow and work up. Turn it up. But don't be a hero.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. Is turn it on real low, but unfortunately, I used the same hand. Yeah, I know. I used the same. Well, Baby Bear's the one that brought it up.
What?
About my little episode with that tens unit. But, okay, back to tens units. Baby Bear and Daphne are pretty much more experts on electricity and tens units and toys like this. So.
I love the electricity and the tens units. I think I like tens units better than I like violet ones, because you get some of the best reactions and actions, because you can pretty much control your little subby's body with wherever you put them. If I can put the electrode on your shoulder muscles and one or two on your biceps and then just sit there and play with it, I can make your hand dance all over. You have no control. None.
Now, the E-stem is even...
E-stem's more fun.
The E-stem, it goes a lot deeper. It goes deeper into the muscles. And talk about something that'll make you twitch.
Well, it's a stronger electrical play, but you got more control over the E-stem box because you got more options. With a tens unit, you pretty much got just wavelength and frequency. With a E-stem, you can go with wavelength, frequency, strength of contractions. You can add electricity, take it away.
Areas of the body to avoid:
heart, chest.
Yeah, you don't want to go at the nipple line. You don't want to cross your heart.
So, like between the neck and the nipple line, don't go there.
Yeah, on the front of the body, yeah, you don't want to do that.
You really don't want to do it on the neck either.
No,
right on the side of the neck.
Not right on the sides of the neck.
The back of the neck, you're fine, but the side of your neck, there.
I don't really recommend doing it at the base of your skull. That's really not a good idea.
Because
the medulla's up in
here. I do it up here with no problem.
Yeah, just not up in the occiput, right?
No.
Right up
in the base. I'm talking on your neck.
No, yeah,
he's talking on your neck.
I'm talking about the base of the skull.
For those of you at home that cannot see, he is talking about...
He's talking about the upper part of his
neck. Basically where the neck meets the shoulder muscle groupings is where he is talking about.
No, which is the neck right before the skull.
Right below the skull. If you go too high, if you feel the little knobs in the back of your head, if you feel that, you're on your skull. Go down about another half an inch and you can put put the pads there. I have to touch myself so I know what I'm doing. I'm touching myself.
That's so divinal, isn't it?
I touch myself. Make me touch you next. But you put your fingers on the base of your skull. If you feel the two little knobby things, you go down about a quarter of an inch, and then you can start putting the pads there. But I wouldn't. I would not recommend putting them at the base of your skull. That makes you cross-eyed.
And like could have some brain damage. And like we said, avoid the nipple line.
Yeah.
Well, on women, it's different.
Well, I would go into like intercostal spaces, but you really just don't want you.
Depending on how big their boobs are.
Right. It depends
Say the Pledge of Allegiance. If where you would put your hand to say the Pledge of Allegiance, avoid that. Go lower than there. And that pretty much keeps you under the rib. Below the ribcage, down toward the abdomen is fine, but don't get up around.
Because you can cause somebody to have a heart attack.
And what kind of aftercare would you expect?
Between point A and point B, between the positive and the negative, electricity is passing between them. Make sure that nothing that's in between them is going to be damaged.
Aftercare, you said aftercare?
Yeah, I mean, you're playing with the muscle group. It's forcing them to contract and expand and contract and expand. The body is going to be very sore after that.
No.
No, not usually. You're pretty rejuvenated. I mean, unless you've just gone way overboard with the electricity and not paid attention to what you're doing, you've got them like dancing like a jackhammer.
Or like what Robert did with his
my
arm. Yeah. With your arm. That's different.
That's different. If you're playing with muscles that are not already fatigued and injured, you're probably just going to you're going to energize more than but they'll be tired.
Even muscles though that are fatigued and injured, that's what TENS units were actually made for, was by doing the contracting and relaxing, it actually wears the muscle out so it quits tensing up, because that's the problem. The pain is caused from the muscles tensing up. So if you keep stimulating it, and the higher intensity it can take, the more it wears out the muscle, and the muscle, the only thing it can do is relax.
It's tired.
So you wear it out. You wear out the muscle.
Blankets, water, even gentle massage is good. Just you don't want to have a real intense electrical scene and then ask them to go get you a drink. That's probably not a good idea.
Sounds like standard aftercare.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
Well, it's really letting somebody relax.
You just got to let them rest. Let them rest and sleep if they need to or whatever. Just make sure they're still breathing.
Lovely.
Yes, and so, okay. Hey, you know, I had an experience with one that I walked over. I was like holding her, and I looked down, and she's like, I'm like, she's not I was like, apnea. Okay, sleep apnea.
Apnea.
Oh, Lord. I was like,
I was
going to
say, sleep apnea.
I played her to death. What?
But electricity can be a lot of fun. You just have to be safe with it.
Yeah, you have to be safe. And if it makes sense to not do something, then don't do it. If you're like, oh, you know, I don't think that's a good idea, it's probably not a good idea.
Mm. On to sounding. Then, let's talk about sounding. After your wonderful photos this evening. Did you get to see those photos, Jimmy?
Yes, he did.
I got to see one, yes.
Okay, good.
There's video.
Basically,
tell us what sounding is.
That's what I was going to do. Okay. So sounding is basically urethral play on a male. It is...
Sure.
Huh? Well, women do, too.
It can be used on a woman, too.
It can be done with women, but it's more prominently found being used on men. Because men's hardware is, they have outdoor plumbing as opposed to indoor plumbing. But a lot of women do like sounding as well.
Most women I've talked to go, ooh, not me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more of a male fetish than a female fetish, let's put it that way. So for all intents and purposes, let's talk about the male fetish.
I was just saying, sounding in general, I love doing it. I'm not going to have it done, thanks.
Sounding basically is inserting a surgical steel metal rod into the urethra and down into the penis. Well, I'm trying to be as clinical as possible.
No, it's kind of cute. I'm just watching his face. The more you say, the happier he gets.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
he is. Look at him.
He has got a grin on his face that stretches from here to California and back. That's cute.
Basically, to be crude, it's like masturbating from the inside instead of the outside.
So, Ben, tell me what it feels like.
Okay.
A rod being stuck in your penis.
No.
Vibrating sounds are my favorite. But.
The 6-hour car trip you've been on and you couldn't stop to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
That first leak you take?
Yeah.
That's it. It just doesn't stop until they remove it.
It's just that kind of intense
relief.
That
almost orgasmic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
And it's like right when you're about to shoot your shot, so to speak. It's that feeling, but it's constant.
And it can tickle your prostate from the other side.
Yes. Sounds are surgical steel, metal. Mm-hmm. They have a slight S-curve to them, a very slight S-curve. So, they come in a some do. Some are perfectly straight. Some have little eggs on the end.
And some have a really pronounced curve.
And some have
several different
kinds. Yeah, there are different kinds. Yeah. The most common you will see are the ones with they're just a very slight S-curve to them.
And they vary in thickness, too.
Vary in thickness, yes.
They're measured in a French gauge, just like a catheter.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about the first, that this is actually a medical instrument.
Yes.
It was utilized for people who had prostate problems and people who had urethral strictures to help dilate the urethra open.
So
that's where its initial use came from.
And then we perverted it for sex play.
Why is it called a sound?
Because of what you make when... That's the sound you make.
Oh, okay.
No, you're sounding.
Because
it's sound for depth. If in think nautical, you're sounding for depth. That's why it's called a sound, because you're plumbing a depth. It's sounding for depth.
Oh,
that's where the original
that
term
makes
came
sense.
From.
That makes sense. I've never understood why it was called sounding either.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the Navy whenever they're checking the tanks in the ship for how much fuel is left in them, especially like on aircraft carriers.
Yeah. Or just like you see them at the gas station. They drop that big dipstick.
Yeah.
To see how much gas is still in the tank.
That's where
basically,
it comes from.
Basically, I'm just
going
to sound to check your oil there.
Yeah, they're checking your oil.
I'm checking your oil. Think with your dipstick, laddie.
It's
the same principle.
Wait, let Wes finish.
Yeah, it comes from that
term.
Nautical term where you're actually checking the depth of the tank to see how much liquid's left in it.
Yeah.
So it's called sounding the tanks.
Oh.
Or in this case, for fetish play, it's
sounding.
Yeah, sounding tanks. The bladder, I guess you could call it.
So, how much... How much dipstick can you take, Ben?
Jimmy's getting personal now.
I can get to an 8 French.
An 8's pretty good.
And 8 is good.
What does that mean?
Thinking gauge.
It's rather
almost the size of the pinky.
It's in the middle.
Really?
An 8 French is about like a 2 gauge.
About the size of a number 2 pencil.
Yeah, a number 2 pencil, basically.
It's about the big round as a number 2 pencil.
You're Robert's good. Pinky.
Okay. You worked your way up to it?
Yes.
Yes.
I know
definitely.
People take larger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen videos of guys taking vibrators, so.
There was a adult film producer who used his pinky, and it was a thick pinky. Yes.
You will see, now, the one thing I will say with sounding, you see a lot of photos on the internet where people are using toothbrushes, ballpoint pens.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, but that
stuff, it's not good for your body, it's not sterile, it's not safe.
Yeah, let's talk about the sterile part.
Can you say NSU?
Yeah. No, it's more like NSU. The thing is, anything that you use like that, a ballpoint pen, a toothbrush, a fork, a spoon... All of these are things. A ballpoint pen is made of plastic. It's got little nicks and scratches on it. You're scraping the inside of your body. Same thing with most any other toys. Sounds are specifically designed to be as smooth as possible. The surgical steel.
Are you okay, Clayton?
When you said fork, I'm sorry.
It's not
just
a sound anymore. It's a tuning fork.
I have seen people use bolts, nuts, screws.
Tuning fork.
Do not do this.
Fork.
This is not safe for your body.
Right.
Because
you're going to cause a urinary infection.
Well, you're shredding the inside of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's not the point of this.
You're
going to
make scar tissue, which is going to constrict your urethra.
Oh.
And I have seen people that actually use sounds that are... the tuning forks,
yes,
and they'll use the sink the end that you utilize to hold usually,
yeah,
and then they'll actually tap on it, which will make it vibrate too.
Right. Yeah, I've seen people use knitting needles or crochet needles. Don't do this, people.
I would never do that.
Stick with actual medical supply tools.
Yeah.
Use the correct toys for the scene.
How do you sterilize these or clean these or keep them sterile?
You need to buy an autoclave.
Oh.
No, I'm joking.
You can boil them.
Okay. Boil them.
boil them?
Yeah, basically.
Use a canning pot, and you can put the sounds across the grate, have the boiling water underneath them, and you steam them for about 10 minutes, and it'll kill them.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty close.
As far as sound, they have 4 or 5 different sound kits at Blackhawk, I believe at Leather Forever as well. Most fetish shops.
I had 2 the other day when I was there.
Yeah, most adult fetish shops will carry sounding kits.
And what kind, do you use a lubricant with this?
Water-based
lubricant if you need to use any at all.
You don't need to use it?
Most people do. However, there are people who have a lot of pre-cum, pre-ejaculate, that is lube. That is what pre-cum is. It's lube.
Yeah.
So if you're already erect and you're having fun and you're already stimulated, that is when you use this toy. If you don't have a lot of pre-cum, then use a water-based lube. Yes, something that your body can absorb and is not going to be dangerous for your body.
Come out when you are flaccid.
Yes. Those aren't the ones we're talking about.
Wait a minute. You have to be erect to do this?
Not necessarily, no.
I'm not usually not when we start.
Not usually most when we sounds, start. Most watch your eyes, ladies and gentlemen, because later on he will lose it.
Yeah. Most sounds are...
I have to do it with safety glasses.
Sounds are designed to go in whether you're erect or not.
Oh, okay.
The ones I would say that you should only use when you are erect are the ones with the little eggs on the end. You don't want to try to insert that when you're soft.
Oh.
Any other sound, it's just a tube of metal.
Yeah.
It's surgical steel.
Yeah.
And they can go in soft. Whether you're soft or hard, it's a lot more fun when you're hard.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And
but like Ben said, he's usually soft when you insert it, but by the time you've got it in, he's got a rock.
We just have to say safety glasses, safety glasses, safety glasses.
Okay.
And how deep do you go?
As far as is comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, okay, if you're John Holmes, you probably need...
2 sounds and a connector.
Yeah, you probably need a telephone pole, you know? But
some string.
If you're Mickey Mouse, you probably need to use a toothpick. It is based on your body and what feels comfortable. It's not something that's meant to hurt or cause pain. It is specifically designed for pleasure, the way we play with it.
Oh, yeah, you don't ever want to let go of it and drop it all the way in. That's ugly.
Neat little tricks if you're using a sound. Number one, if a sound goes in all the way, don't freak out, don't panic. You can stand up when you get, and it will slide back out. A trick to keep it, because a lot of people will go in and out and in and out and use it to masturbate with. Put a little alligator clamp on the end of it or something to hold that tip. Oh. Out so it won't go all the way into your body.
Gotcha.
And then you can use that as a little handle. That's a good trick to use. Yes. And
clips.
The little clamps. You can get those little clamps, you know,
at Home Depot.
They come with little yellow ends and orange ends. They have them all different sizes. But those are really good for actually making a little handle, and they're rubber tips, so they will grab the metal and hold on to the actual sound and not let it slip.
Too.
Good set of nipple clamps.
Set of nipple clamps as well.
Well, that's what they were bought for originally.
Yeah. And like on my leather jacket, I always have one of those little yellow clamps on my
just in case
epaulette. Yeah. Well, it's an all-purpose toy. I mean, it can be used for so many things. But
you can hang up your socks.
Put it on a nipple. You know, do whatever you want with
CBT.
It.
CBT.
Things you need to be careful with.
Ben has this look on his face.
Wait. Yeah.
He's disappointed you're not doing a demo.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, next time we'll bring you in with sounds and you can do a demo for everybody.
He's about sounds like I am about electricity.
I see. Okay, next time we do the demo.
Yeah, next time we'll do the demo. Okay. If we can get away with it, yeah.
Yeah, we can get away with it.
Okay, no slurpy slapping noises.
If we can do naked radio, we can do sound demonstration. We may have to muzzle him.
Yeah.
Ball gags are us.
Yeah, we'll get a ball gag for him.
I'll bring wine.
He doesn't say anything about moaning and groaning.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. No, we can moan and groan. Not a problem.
But certain sounds we try to avoid.
We never avoid sounds. That's what the whole point is.
I'll tell you about that one later, dear. That's a whole different story.
It's a whole different kind of sound, is what you're saying.
It's a whole different story, yeah. So, if you are into this scene, just be careful how you play. Be careful how you insert. Again, don't force it. Don't try to take a gauge bigger than what you, bigger than your hole. You need to start with a smaller gauge. Get comfortable with the feel. Because it is a very, very different sensation from masturbating the outside. Because literally you're masturbating the inside. Some people find it very erotic and very fun. Some people feel no way. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel right. It hurts. If it hurts, don't do it.
Well, of course.
Duh.
Yeah.
And don't try to force it down any further than your body feels comfortable with.
Yeah.
I mean, don't think you have to take the entire thing. I know some people, they have... Sounds normally come, they're about 8-9 inches long. And some people only use a sound 2-3 inches into their body, and that's good enough for them. They have a good time with it. Some people will let it slide all the way down.
It'll
disappear in me.
Yeah. But it's just just like with any play, it's your personal comfort level and your limit on where how far you play with this scene.
Gotcha.
What about variations of utilizing the sounds?
For?
Oh, you can use electricity.
Oh, yeah. You can take a sound.
It conducts really well.
You can insert a sound.
And you know this from experience?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They're metal. So they will conduct electricity. You can take a sound, insert the sound, take a vibrator, turn the vibrator on, touch the end of the sound. You don't need to spend $120 for a vibrating sound.
Tuning fork.
A tuning fork is a great toy with a sound.
That's where the clips come in handy, because if your hands are busy trying to apply vibrators and electricity and ugly things, oh my, the clip keeps it from sliding away, so you can use it.
Gotcha.
There are all kinds of things you can do with it. One thing you don't want to do is jerk it sideways. You just only want to go in and out. You don't want to try to swirl around or anything like that, because you're going to be tearing your urethra up.
You can spin it around.
Spin it around on the inside, but don't, try to turn it
Give
sideways.
Give us tips here, yeah.
I mean, don't use it like a windshield wiper, all right?
That's not a good
Ouch!
Idea. Shifting gears is not a
good idea. Yeah, you don't want to shift gears with this thing.
You can
but up and down and
turn
twirl
it,
around.
Turn it, spin it around and around.
I don't know. When it's in there, you can pretty much do whatever you want. I don't care.
Wait, no, him at that
his
point.
His eyes are rolled back in his head. He's like, oh.
He's already found his heaven, So.
Well, the way they're made is they're ground down, so they're extremely smooth. There's really not... Now, when we talked about somebody using a pencil or those kinds of things, those are not... ground down to be smooth like a sound is.
Well, they're not meant to be used this way.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying there's a difference in the sound compared to the way other things are made. This is actually a medical tool that is being used for pleasure.
Yeah. So it's not the first time,
True.
Tens unit.
Forceps.
Tens units.
Tens units.
Yeah.
Needles. Tens units are the same thing.
Absolutely.
Always. Needles are fun.
Needles, scalpels. Tens unit sounds.
Wow.
Just everybody, please remember that whatever scene you play...
There must be a lot of kinky people in the medical field.
Oh, yeah. There are.
Cupping is actually a medical...
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Ancient.
Whatever scene you play, just educate yourself to the best of your ability. Find somebody who plays this scene. Learn from somebody real.
Yeah.
There are a lot of fantastic books out there. You can get them at Blackhawk. You can get them at Leather Forever. You can get them at a lot of the erotic shops. And I'm talking instruction manuals. I'm not talking erotica.
Yeah.
Erotica is just like a porno movie. It's going to show you what you want to see. It's going to give you what you want to read. But it's not going to give you any technical aspect.
Right.
You need to look for the how-tos for certain.
Look for the how-tos. Educate yourself. Educate yourself about the dangers and the risks of playing whatever scene you're into.
Ask questions.
Ask questions. Find somebody who's into this scene and learn from them. Like I said earlier, reading a book and seeing it live are two different things.
And just remember, you're probably not an original. There's probably somebody out there somewhere.
But some people don't have access to live people, and the book is all they have.
Yeah.
All I can say there's just read the book, go slow. Very, very slow.
A good first book for anybody who's going to play with any kind of SM. Whoa, hello.
Thank you, Ben.
A good first book for anybody to get who's considering any type of SM play is SM 101 by Jay Wiseman.
Yeah.
One of the best textbooks you can have on your shelf.
I still have mine years later, and I still refer to it. Mm-hmm.
And I say, anybody who's into BDSM, leather, the fetish lifestyle, that is a must-have book. It's a must-read book.
There you go.
So SM101, and again, you can get that at Black Hawk. You can get that at
Borders.
Leather Forever. You can actually get it at Borders and, wow, and quite a few other normal Barnes & Noble.
You can order through Amazon.com.
Order through Amazon, yep, as well.
Yeah.
So educate yourself, play safely, play sanely, and enjoy each other.
Fabulous.
To the best of your abilities.
And fabulous.
Thank you for Leather Ties. I'm turning this back over to Jimmy, and we'll see you next month.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. I've got a little piece of music that I've been wanting to play. It's new to After Hours by a group called the Barbarella Tones from their CD Interview with a Glampire. It's called Cornhuskin Man, and you're hearing it on After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
Here on After Hours. Still
right. What?
Oh.
Go ahead.
There we go. A little programming note. Next week we will have Stage Rankin here promoting Rocky Horror, which will be coming to the play will be coming to Pasadena Town Square there at the Stage Door Inc. Theater. Special performances on Halloween night. The usual 8 o'clock performance, followed, and then a special midnight show. If you want to find more information about that, you can go to stagedoorinc.com and find out by getting the tickets for the midnight show. You have to prepay for those. Also, next week we're going to have Women in Power Society in here, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the appearances in the BDSM community of ones we have internal in the community and ones we have external. From the preliminary talk we were having on this, sounds to be a very fascinating talk. We're going to have a bunch of people in talking about it and how we see certain things in the community and how the community at large sees various aspects of the BDSM. So that'll be next week here on After Hours. Someone's jewelry's rattling. It's Merlin. Everything rattles on him.
Speaking of Merlin, there he is.
Hello.
Fresh from Ren Faire.
Well,
I wouldn't call him fresh.
Fresh might be pushing it, but
yeah. I mean, he wasn't even fresh when he got home from Ren Faire.
Thank you.
In fact, for that matter, he probably wasn't even fresh when he got up.
Yeah, I heard he had to get up at 8:30 in the morning. That's
unusual for Merlin.
It's not safe for a vampire like you, is it?
No, it's not.
I didn't know he was a daywalker.
Apparently, I am.
Yeah. We've got to start off here with some roundtable stuff. Some news.
Don't mind his sinuses. Finish the sentence.
We don't like much noise coming out of you.
Oh, well, you're SOL there, because...
this is the weekend of the National March on Washington. President Obama started off with a speech in front of the Human Rights Campaign. He reaffirmed his campaign pledge to end the ban on homosexuals serving openly in the military in a speech on Saturday, but offered no timetable or specifics for acting on that promise.
Gee, what a shock.
So basically, he said he was going to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but when that will happen, don't ask, he's not going to tell.
Exactly.
Yep.
He acknowledged to a cheering... Hold on, I gotta let Mary in. There. He acknowledged to a cheering crowd that some policy changes he promised in the campaign trail are not coming as quickly as they expected. I will end Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Obama said to a standing ovation from the crowd of about 3,000 at the annual dinner of the HRC. We should not be punishing patriotic Americans who have stepped forward to serve our country. We should be celebrating their willingness to step forward and show courage, especially when we were fighting two wars. Obama said it was no secret that, quote, our progress may be taking longer than you like. I also appreciate that many of you don't believe progress has come fast enough.
Okay.
No doubt the direction we are heading and the destination we will reach.
You know, I think with the Nobel Peace Prize winning that, I think it's kind of put the screws to him to kind of get some things done.
Well, you know, he won that for his first 12 days in office.
Right.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, you know, I was thinking the same thing. Then Rachel Maddow had a way of explaining it of, you know, he pushed a lot of things before he became president. During his campaign, he changed the speech and the rhetoric of, you know, we're going to talk to the Muslim world. We're going to talk about to, you know, the people who we've said in the past that we're not going to talk to. And part of that, I think, is what some of that came from. Yes, it is very odd.
That's all.
Basically, given an award for...
lip service.
Well, that's what every politician does, is gives lip service.
Well, that's basically what he got it for. I mean,
yeah.
In all honesty, I mean, he when they nominate him for the prize, which is supposed to be a prestigious thing, something that tops your entire life, he got it for 12 days in office and a bunch of lip service.
Well, yeah, you know, not everybody who wins the Peace Prize is it for the achievements they've done. You know, Desmond Tutu got it 10 years before apartheid was officially dissolved. But yet he was given it in recognition for his work to achieve that goal, which then, like I said, took an eventual 10 years later. You know, it's one of those things you can debate either way. Mm-hmm. I forget which show there were. I think it was on Countdown. Keith wasn't on. But they were talking about the fact that, you know, in 1938, the Nobel Prize Peace Prize Committee was debating between giving it to Adolf Hitler or Mahatma Gandhi.
Guess who got it?
Yeah.
Neither one of them. Mm-hmm. They gave it to a third group, mm-hmm. eventually. You know, some of those things, it's different in the context you look at them.
Mm-hmm. I think they said the last sitting president to get a Nobel Peace Prize was FDR.
No, I think Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson, okay.
Woodrow Wilson, who helped lead the creation of the League of Nations, which was UN-lite based in San Francisco, and also helping to do the Treaty of Versailles, which ended World War I. And, you know, both those things ended up being failures of being... The League of Nations did not last, and, you know...
The Treaty of Versailles led to...
this next world war.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's something we can debate on that, and you know, others have done that. But you know, basically, you know, like I said several weeks ago, you know, the one thing I can say about with Obama is he's proved that you know doesn't matter if the president is black or white, we're still going to get screwed over on gay rights. You know, he told us to come and join him, and things will be different, and it's more of the same.
Yeah, we're still bent over that barrel.
Oh, well, speaking of being bent over the barrel, some people like Barney that. Frank, the gay member of Congress, says he'd rather see gay rights supporters lobbying their elected officials than marching in Washington this weekend, calling the demonstration a waste of time at best.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.
Set of testicles and or ovum, whichever their specific gender is, because they're not doing
their job.
They're being sent to. You know, I hate repeating myself on some of this stuff, but you know, there's a majority of Democrats in there. The majority of the people want health care reform, and we're not getting it because they're trying to bring Republicans into the big tent. Well, they're not going to come into the big tent.
I think, what was it, the congressman from Florida?
Mark Grayson. Yeah.
The Republican health care plan that he came up with was really...
He even got better last week. This past week, he went on the floor again and basically chastised the Democratic... senator saying, Olympia Snow's not elected president. She doesn't speak for anybody except a state that's... She speaks for one half of one state that's less than 1% of the population. Quit trying to appease her to get her vote for health care reform. You know, do your job, what you're here for. And, you know, this baucus bill that they're going to try and push through... I just wish that, you know, President Obama and Harry Reid would grow a set and Pelosi pulls hers out and says, I'd like to introduce you to the Edward Kennedy Memorial Health Care Bill. Vote on it now.
Yeah.
And let's get this thing over with.
Sometimes things need to be done regardless of... whether that means you'll get your butt reelected the next go around,
or whether or not you're going to get that money from the healthcare industry or the doctors this time.
But yeah, everything today is so based in... I mean, politicians spend so much of their time running for reelection, and I'm sorry, screw that. Do your job. And if doing your job and doing what you feel is right and doing right by the American people means that a bunch of folks are going to disagree with you and thusly vote you out of office, well, you did your job while you were there.
Yeah. And once again, with the march happening tomorrow, I'm looking forward to see and how much coverage Fox News gives to this event.
This should be entertaining.
For how much they whined and moaned and said, y'all did not, you know, no one covered the 9/12 Tea Party rallies that were held in our nation's capital. No one covered it like us. Because we sponsored it, maybe.
Oh, the teabaggers?
Yeah, you know, they put out a full-page ad complaining, you know, where was CBS and NBC and how ABC and MSNBC? Where were you for the 9/12? Well, I want to see where Fox News is for this coverage.
Yeah.
Should be interesting to see.
I'm already unblocking C-SPAN to see what its coverage is.
I wonder if Anderson Cooper's going to be covering it.
No, it would be too close to him coming out. let's see. One last somber story here. News out of Majorca. Stephen Gately, a member of the British boy band Boyzone, has been found dead in a hotel room in Majorca while on vacation. He was 33. Close friends said it appears Stephen died while going out in Majorca when he was on holiday. It looks like he went out for a few drinks, and when he got back, fell asleep and never woke up.
Ooh.
Pro this morning, Boys Own manager Louis Walsh, said, "We are all absolutely devastated, and I'm in complete shock. I was only with him on Monday at an awards ceremony. We don't know much of what's happened yet. All four remaining members of Boys Own, all recently reunited, will be flying to Palma, Majorca tomorrow. Boys Own star Shane Lynch said, me and the boys are flying out in the morning. We just need to get over to where he's passed and work out what we need to. Details behind the death have not been emerged. He is survived by Andy Cowles, who he married in a civil partnership in 2006.
So they didn't find him naked hanging in a closet?
No, he came out of the closet years ago.
Ah, I see.
So, once again, this is, you know, we when he came out, that was the first boy band member, even though it was a British one. And in fact, his partner was a boy band member from a another European boy band.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, and I remember searching through a couple of record shops here in Houston trying to find a CD from them to play. And unfortunately, this news broke after I left home, so I didn't see.
How old was this?
33.
Wow.
I'm sure you could find them on YouTube.
So his boyfriend featured with Gately in the boys' band in the band's video "Better" from last year. And so keep an eye on.
How long has this band been?
I think they came out. They came out of Europe with the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, about they're about the same age as them. Okay. You know. He just came out earlier. All right, now some cutesier news. Two thugs who attacked what they thought was a pair of transvestites picked on the wrong men.
I saw that video. That was hilarious.
When their intended victims turned out to be cage fighters out on a fancy dress night.
Oh, my God.
Can you say oops?
Yeah, really.
Dean and Jason singled out the two men walking along in wigs, short skirts, and high heels. Bare-chested Dean was caught on clear circuit television confronting one of the men in a pink wig, black skirt, and boob tube. Swinging a punch, the court heard. But the other cage fighter, wearing a sparkling black dress and matching long wig, sprang to his friend's help, delivering two lightning-quick punches to the two stunned yobs. Definition. Yob is a British term for basically a punk.
Mm-hmm.
The cage fighters then were seen teetering away in their high heels, stopping only to pick up a clutch bag they dropped during the melee.
Probably didn't even smear their mascara.
Nope.
The two men were left dazed and seen staggering their feet after the failed attack.
That's funny.
Closed circuit cameras followed the pair as they were weaving along the Kingsway in Swansea, South Wales, before being arrested by police. Mark Davies' defense saying, You know it cannot have been a good night when you get into a fight with two cross-dressing men. Unfortunately, they were extremely drunk. They were drinking jugs of cocktail, and the one guy had drank at least 10 pints of cider.
Ooh. Oh.
Wow.
Police later discovered the two drag queens were cage fighters on a fancy dress stag night out with other friends. The two men have pled guilty to using abusive words and behavior. Closed circuit to footage of the attacks was shown in the court and shows them fighting with several men before approaching the two cage fighters. They have been sentenced to a 4-month community program, are electronically tagged, and placed under curfew from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
You know, that's got to be really embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. I got my butt kicked by a man in a dress. Now, there's really? There's something for your memoirs right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But at least you can say, you know, you kind of held your own against an extreme cage fighter. Until that stiletto came across your head.
And it's lucky you didn't get a single white female to face there.
Yeah.
More fun news from my old part of the country there, Pennsylvania.
Ah.
A 32-year-old Hellerton man who rubbed his pelvis on an inanimate object in a video store and trespassed in a home could serve nearly 2 years in prison. Judge sentenced Rick Musignug of the I was just making sure what city his street name is, because if that's the same street name, the same city I came from, he lives down the street from my grandmother. to 11 to 22 months in county prison for corruption of minors, followed by 38 months in county probation. He's been given credit for time served. He must also receive probation on charges of open lewdness, possession of drug paraphernalia, and disorderly conduct. Musignug was caught twice causing a disturbance at the 48 Hours video store in Hellerton, court paper said. He rubbed his crotch on videos, objects, and the floor. And he told a girl working the store that she must attract a lot of business. Another time, he simulated a sex act on a gumball machine.
Was he marking his territory?
Probably.
What did he think this was? National Geographic? My God.
He was also nabbed for entering the home of two girls he saw at a borough library. He was found by the girls in their living room petting the family dog.
Virgin, bad boy.
During his sentencing, he said he never spoke to the girl at the counter. But all the other stuff, yeah, I'd done the videos and everything else, yeah. He also admitted to entering the home without being invited and possessing the pipe. He was required to...
So he was packing pipe?
Drug paraphernalia.
Oh, okay.
He will receive long-term sex offender treatment and submit to regular drug testing. Oh, those wacky Pennsylvanians. Mm.
And a psychoval.
Remember, kids, keep your pipe off the videos.
Oh, my God, look at this one.
And our final story. Los Angeles man charged with posing as a fertility doctor in order to molest sperm donors. An Arizona man faces criminal charges allegedly posing as a fertility doctor so he could sexually molest men while pretending to give them physical exams. MyFoxLA.com has reported. Jeffrey Graybill, 40, advertised online offering people up to $4,000 a month for sperm donations to support stem cell research. He was arrested in Arizona on Wednesday and brought to L.A., according to LAPD. Graybill is accused of stealing the identity of a San Francisco doctor as posing as Dr. Richardson at a Los Angeles clinic. Officer Ian Carbonell says he has no medical certification except some experience as a paramedic. The victims didn't know any better. They thought he was a doctor. He knows what he's doing. The officer.
And Jimmy's probably wondering, why didn't I come up with this scam sooner?
The initial complaint about him from a victim who provided sperm samples but didn't get paid in June sounded like a consumer fraud case. But after an investigation charge, Graybill was charged with sexual battery by fraud, identity theft, practicing medicine without certification, and other sex charges. Carbonell says there are two victims in L.A., but investigators are reviewing his emails and identified 24 potential victims in California and Arizona. He allegedly did the same thing in Arizona, according to L.A. County D.A. He was allegedly pretending to be a doctor, operating a sperm clinic, and would pay for sperm donors. And two males showed up to donate, and he allegedly conducted exams and sexually fondled them.
I'm sorry, but your cheeks are not a sperm bank.
Graybill is charged with multiple counts of practicing medicine, certificate, identity theft, and sexual battery by fraud. He's being held in lieu of $590,000 bail and is due back in court on October 16th.
Wow.
Gee whiz.
So the interesting thing is, if he would have paid it, would he have been charged with solicitation of prostitution? Think about that one. And would that turn the guys from victims into whores?
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Wow.
On that
hand. Yeah, there's really not much you can say after that.
No, nope. The material just writes itself.
It just writes itself.
And once again, the felt did cross the. Why did I think of that first? Oh, gosh. Yeah, what can you say after that?
Good night, kids.
Good night, kids.
We are
go to bed, kids.
And remember, when you answer an ad on Craigslist, grain of salt, tongue in cheek, before you put any other tongue in any other cheek.
Oh, my. He went there.
He
always goes there.
Yeah.
If I didn't, y'all would be disappointed.
We'd think you were sick.
I am sick.
In the head.
That too.
Yeah, but that's kind of a requirement to be on the show.
Yeah, mental deficiencies are
rampant here.
It's not required, but it's helpful.
You know that phrase, I wanted to stir your brains out?
Hi, Jimmy.
We have two fearless leaders here, and you're one of them.
Yeah. Remind us that when the FCC follows back on this show, they know which one of those are going to...
Which ones to crucify?
Those two right there to my right.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on KPFT Houston. We will hopefully be back next week. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale.
Woo!
I saw Mary coming in.
She's here.
So, if you want to get in contact with us, it's afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
We'd love to hear from you. Get your story ideas, news stories, hate mail, love mail.
Dirty pictures!
He's actually in here at the studio at this time, so I had to figure out how to use it for that.
Yeah, you did.
It's KPFT Houston. Zydeco Pasolet is next. Here it is, your PSAs and election news.
In keeping with KPFT's mission of bringing the voices of the community to you, here is one of your candidates in the upcoming election for local station board.
I am Nancy Saibar Naditomi, a 56-year-old mom with above-average energy, creativity, and tenacity. My interests are judicial, political, reform, food, water, and air safety. I believe KPFT can become an even greater jewel for creating peace and saving life on Earth through creative, worldwide outreach. Power of five for the people is divine. And my name is Nancy Saibar Naditomi. Saibar means west pasture. Naditomi means becoming rich.
That was a statement by Nancy Saibar Naditomi. For complete candidate statements and more information about all of your candidates for the local station board, please visit kpft.org. The future of KPFT and the entire Pacifica network now rests upon the participation of our listener members. This is KPFT Houston.
In the wake of the subprime mortgage scandals, rising unemployment, continued war, and the counterinsurgency being waged against oppressed people in this country, mobilizations are happening in Houston. The events are an effort to bring all freedom-loving people back into political life and continue the struggle defeated in the 60s. On Sunday, October 18th, 6 p.m. at Shape Community Center, 3815 Live Oak, a panel will address the topic, The Black Struggle in the Age of Barack Obama. Speakers will be Kofi Taharka, National Black United Front, Dr. Aisha Field, the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project, and Uhuru Movement leader Omalia Shetela. The 144 Lead will open this event with a live performance. For more information, call 281-386-6442 or 713-670-0443 or email Houston at Uhuru Tours.